Strike one down and another two pop up in its place. That's the story of how PUBG has banned 13 million accounts and counting. Cheaters and scammers know no bounds, but we've got better news of new content coming soon. Stay tuned for this and plenty more starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, episode number 747 for this, October the 7th, 2018. My name is Rob Roberts, joining you here in Sacramento, California, Studio N7, where our show is based. Live for the next few hours to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle with you guys in our live chat, as well as my co-host here in studio. Say hello to Loki.
Hello.
How are you, Loki?
I'm good.
Good. You're eating Korean barbecue on the show tonight.
Yes.
Yes, which is not something you usually get because I thought Korean barbecue was very expensive.
But
there must be something very specific you are craving tonight.
It's the bulgogi beef. But that's the problem is, though, is like the bulgogi that you get with takeout is not the same as the bulgogi that you cook at a Korean barbecue. It's like it's thicker. It's covered with like tons of like barbecue teriyaki sauce. This is dry. Thankfully, I ordered an extra side of teriyaki sauce.
Well, thank gosh. Thank gosh.
So
that's funny because you had Korean barbecue. I had Mongolia barbecue. So it's like barbecue city tonight.
And then
a couple nights ago, I had Lucille's barbecue, the more southern barbecue type of stuff. So, barbecue.
We just seen a barbecue fusion restaurant.
That's right. It's barbecue, some Orange Lounge Radio tonight. All of the barbecue. Anyway, Dark Sakura, she is still out on leave. She'll be joining us a little later in the show for the classic game of the week. But we do have someone else here in studio with us tonight to help us along with Dark Sakura's absence. I'm very happy to welcome him to the show because I know he's been listening for a while. And he has a show of his own, which is fantastic. And he came a very long way to be here. So all the way from Toronto, say hello, everybody, to Delvin.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm really good.
So you have a show called Video Game Realness.
That is correct.
Well, it's not your show. You and your friends.
Yeah, it's a group of friends.
It's a group of friends that all do it together. Tell us a little bit about Video Game Realness.
So we started it about 5 years ago, I want to say now.
You say a boat.
And so, yeah, 5 years ago, it's me, one of my old roommate, Cameron, and my two friends, James and Michael. We just shoot the shit talking about video games because we used to do it all the time, going to dinner and stuff. And one day we just decided, let's just put this on tape and record it.
This sounds so familiar. Doesn't this sound familiar, Loki?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we...
I love it.
We just get together, talk about video games. It's usually quite random and quite stupid and silly, but that's just how we are.
Yeah, I loved, you know, again, I would encourage folks to go listen to Video Game Realness. Although I noticed your episodes are kind of sporadic.
Yes.
You just kind of do them when you feel like it.
Yeah, we were on a regular schedule, but, you know, life gets in the way, and now we just do it when there's something to talk about.
I respect that. But I will say, not to give away all your jokes, but on the most recent episode, something that had me rolling, you already know this, was you guys were talking about the new Switch game that's coming out, Starlink, which is Ubisoft's game, right? But we keep seeing all these in the trailers and in the Nintendo Directs. They're like, Star Fox is in Starlink.
Yeah.
And so finish this joke here.
Basically, every time Nintendo talks about the game, they pretty much promote it as a Star Fox game.
Right.
And I don't know what the game's about.
They might kind of say it by Ubisoft. You know, they just kind of like skim over those details. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's this comic out there. James had shared it with our group. I don't know the origin of the comic, but basically it's like in like three parts or whatever, where someone had basically was handing something to someone saying, I made this, right? And then, but the person takes it and then says, no, I made this. So basically we consider this the same situation with Starlink,
right,
where Ubisoft has made the game and Nintendo has now just taken it and said, no, I made this.
You made this? I made this.
Yeah. Yeah. Just slapped Star Fox in there and now it's just Star Fox.
That's right.
Like, who knows what the game's about?
The question is the game any good?
Who knows? Who cares? It's a Star Fox game.
It's a Star Fox game now.
How dare you? Don't ask these
questions.
Yes, because
all of the Nintendo tie-ins have been successful, you know, just like they did with, what, the last Skylanders game. Did you buy it because it had Nintendo tie-ins in it? No.
No, no, I didn't.
Because no one gives a shit about that.
I sure did.
And this is another Toys for Life game with a Nintendo tie-in that...
You know what else I didn't buy was the Wand of Gamelon on the Philips CDI. So not every Nintendo crossover is successful. But some are kind of cool, so you never know.
We'll see where this one goes, but I think it's pretty much just a Star Fox game.
Yeah.
With some other characters.
I made this.
Yeah.
All right, I don't know. They
I'll let Video Game Realness hold the joke.
They could have Wand of Gamelon Link as a, you know, Echo Fighter in the next Smash Brothers game.
I think there's like a sense of pride that would never be violated by doing that in Smash Brothers. I really think so. I think Nintendo would really rather forget that ever happened.
Or Linkette.
Stop it right now. All right. Anyway, go to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com because, like I said earlier, we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And going into our chat room, Tiger Claw says, Starlink on the Switch is basically a new Star Fox game. That's exactly what Nintendo wants you to think.
It's not. Please, stop making excuses for them. They need to make their own Star Fox game.
I made this.
However, though, I'm completely fine with them not making their own F-Zero game, because when it was Nintendo and Namco, that turned out just fine.
Oh, that was the Triforce. That was a Sega as well, wasn't that, too?
Yes, because Sega and Namco both know racing games. Nintendo, they have F-Zero.
Nintendo makes great characters. All right, anyway. Tiger Claw says, what's interesting, though, in the cutscenes that show Fox with a human. Fox is pretty short. He looks to be about 4 feet tall next to a human. And SJ100 Matt is calling out a few minutes in, and Loki is already going after Nintendo. So.
In which I posted, sorry, I'm late.
Anyway, Delvin, I don't mean to take the spotlight off of you and Video Game Realness. So you've been listening, I know, to OLR for a little while, which, you know, thank you very much. But we got connected back when GamerX was kind of like coming up.
Correct.
Because we were trying to find other LGBTQIA plus, you know, all the colors of the rainbow. We were trying to find people to kind of connect with to propose a podcasting panel at GamerX, which we did end up doing. But sadly, you guys didn't make it to GamerX.
Yeah, we couldn't make it out to the...
But at least we still got connected.
Yes.
So that was
the important part.
That was the win in that situation, which was really cool. So, yes, that was a while ago now, because that was, like, they did 4 years of GamerX, and the last GamerX was, like, 2 years ago, so that was, like, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Crazy! So, awesome. Tell me a little bit about, like, why you're a gaming fan. What do you remember, like, early on that, like a gaming memory that made you a gaming fan?
Well, I got into gaming from a very young age. Like, I think I was 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. We had got the NES for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And my sister and I, we didn't really know, like, what a Nintendo was. We'd kind of seen it in commercials or whatever. And then we got it for Christmas 1 year. And so my parents had this one box that we couldn't open. And so they left it there. And then they gave us this one box to open.
If you open that box, Santa's going to burn down the house.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
So they gave us this one box to open, and it was a joystick. And so we were like, well, why are you giving us a joystick? And then we looked at the box, and we just started clawing at it. And we were screaming and going crazy. And so that was like the moment when gaming started for me, essentially.
And they're like, no, I told you not to open it. Now you don't get it.
And it turns out the joystick was for a lawnmower that was in the box. Now go do the chores. No, it was a Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah. So at that time, it was just NES games. We only had Mario. But my aunt, who lived in Texas at the time, had sent us a bunch of games from the U.S. because they were a lot cheaper here in the U.S. than it was in Canada. And one of those games that she sent was Mega Man 2, which is my most favorite game of all time.
I was going to ask that because I know you're a big Mega Man fan, like so much that Mega Man appears like in your online presence.
Correct.
So
my gamer tag, Mega Man X400.
Yeah. So, I mean, tell us a little bit about like this Mega Man love. Like, where does that come from?
Like I said, it started from Mega Man 2, and I've always enjoyed the Mega Man series. It took me forever to actually beat Mega Man 2 as a kid, and then when I finally got it, it just clicked with me. And then that evolved into liking the X series, which is my favorite of the Mega Man games, which I've played through all of them, and they're just really fun, and they have great replayability and great challenge. You can play it in any which way you like to make it more difficult if you want. You know, you can try to speed run it if you want, or just play it for shits and giggles.
Yeah. I got to ask you your thoughts on Mega Man 11, although you probably haven't really got to play it yet because you've been out here, right?
Well, I did play the demo.
Okay.
I played the demo at Fan Expo, which is a big convention in Toronto. And so that was a lot of fun playing it there. And I did get to play some of it on the plane right here.
Okay.
And it's great. It's honestly, I think they did a really good job of this game. It was long overdue. Long overdue. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that they didn't go in the direction they did with Mega Man 9 and 10 with going back to the old retro design of...
They seem to have found like a nice hybrid. Like maybe it's not retro, but it still it looks like the old game. Like they didn't try to like make it ultra fancy or force 3D in it.
No, and like it has a good style to it. It's still in the original Mega Man series, but it is not in the old Mega Man 2, 3, 4 style with the NES 8-bit style that they did with 9 and 10, which I didn't quite like. And also the now has like four different difficulty levels, which I think is really good.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it has like super beginner, casual, normal, and then hardcore.
Wait a minute, so you got hardcore for like ultra. Is that going to be your mode at some point?
No, I'm just normal.
Okay. So then, then you have like slightly irritating below
yes,
that, right?
Which is normal.
And that would be your mode.
Yes.
So then you have casual.
Correct.
And so then we even have below that Bobby Blackwolf mode.
Beginner.
No, it's okay. It's okay. He's in on the joke. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's a long running in joke here at Vogue is that like the most basic of basic levels was made for Bobby Blackwolf.
Yeah.
And it's fine. It's
so
fine.
Basically what happens in beginner mode is you almost take no damage. And if you fall, a little bird comes and picks you up and puts you onto the next platform.
Cute.
So you can just like get through the level.
My God, I love it. I love it. Okay.
It's super easy.
Okay, that's awesome. I know one place maybe some of the OLR listeners may have seen you before if they don't participate with Video Game Realness right now. They may be familiar with your Twitch because I know you and I have done like co-streams. We've done we've done Mario Kart. And I feel like we did something else.
We did Mario Kart and we played
20XDX.
20XX.
Which is like not Mega Man.
No,
wink.
But
I remember when I streamed that game for the first time, you came into the chat and you were like, what
this? Yeah, I had no idea about the game until I saw you play it.
Yeah.
And I purchased it immediately. And it is a really good game. And I generally don't like the roguelike style of gaming where you have to start all over again. But they do this one in a really good way that incorporates the Mega Man style of playing in with a roguelike, which is really good.
Yeah. So you tell us a little more about your Twitch. You're streaming, right?
Yeah. So I do stream rather passively right now, but because there hasn't been very much games to stream, but there's like a whole slew of games coming out between now and like when Smash Brothers comes out. So you'll be seeing me stream a lot more on twitch.tv/VGRealness.
Nice. Love it. And by the way, Bobby's speaking up in chat. He wants us to know, I didn't even beat beginner, frown. There was this one platforming section that was an auto-scroller, and I could never get through it. It was the one with destructible blocks.
Oh, yeah. I had that trouble, too, because our Switch controllers, my kids busted them.
Oh, no.
Well, they're not busted, but they occasionally drift for no reason.
It's like you have to get a pro controller just for yourself.
I don't even think it's the kids that did. I think it's just their controllers are pieces of shit is what it is.
I've actually seen a lot on Twitter about like cleaning those controllers, and I know
Like dust get in there in a way that affects analog sticks, because I don't have this problem on any other controller. Oh, and then the other thing was fun is my kids wanted to play Super Mario Party. And so, you know, I thought, okay, let me put those nice little additional pieces that they have for the Joy-Cons to make them, you know, add the little wrist strap and stuff like that. Those fuckers are nearly impossible to put on and take off.
Oh, yeah, I don't use them. I don't use them for that reason.
It's like, what poor fucking design is this shit? Even when you put them on correctly, it's just, like, impossible to take them off.
They're pretty tight.
Yeah, so... All right. Anyway, what else do I want to ask you about? New games that you're into. So we know about Mega Man, and we talked a little bit about Mega Man 11. What else? I mean, I'll get into your gaming week so we can talk about specifics, because you know we do that here. But like in a general sense, what are some of the recent games you've really enjoyed?
The one that I played through the most recently was Octopath Traveler,
which
I know a lot of people... It was kind of a love-hate game where you either really got into it because you like that style of game... but it is lacking in terms of a continuous story and character development. I think it really did have the design sense where it was going to be made for a mobile game that you would purchase in packages based on the characters that you purchase.
I think, was that your show that got into a discussion on that? Because I think you guys are apps. I heard that on a podcast somewhere about this game was very clearly designed for mobile.
Yes.
And I think that is like on the money. I think it was on the money.
So, and they made efforts to kind of make character development later on, but it was very tacked on.
Yeah.
But that being said, I do love the battle system. That is where the heart of the game is, in how you can do the battles and customize your jobs. And you get like advanced jobs later, which just make it even like super easier. And just even talking with friends and like finding out how they beat certain bosses versus how I did it. And just there's so many different ways in which you can skin the cat, basically.
Yeah. Well, don't do that.
But it's really great. I really do hope that, and I'm pretty sure Square Enix will make a Octopath Traveler 2.
It ended up selling like it was the best seller that month in the U.S. So I'm sure that game really exceeded expectations in the U.S. specifically.
Yeah, they had very low expectations.
So there's
going to
be a Deca Path. Well, I mean, I know Deca's 10, but whatever. I think we got into this in a previous episode. But there's going to be a sequel, and that would be good because it'll give them a chance to really perfect now this formula.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the only thing they need to do to make a second game and make it good is just a story that continues and keep everything of the battle system the same, because it's
that we know is not going to be piecemeal like in the story.
Correct.
Because
like
no
make
mobile,
it
yeah.
make it a joining story and not just eight individual stories about people that don't connect.
Makes sense. Awesome. Okay. Well, we'll please chime in throughout the night. Tell us what you think about the news, and we're just really happy to have you here. Any social media shout outs to give while you're here?
You can follow us on our Twitter channel, which is at VG Realness. And of course, I mentioned our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VG Realness. We do have a YouTube channel as well, which has like some of our old playthroughs because sometimes we would play games together as all four of us or together. Sometimes me and James would be playing Final Fantasy 14. So all of our old video clips and stuff are on our YouTube channel as well, which you can just search Video Game Realness and it's on there.
And they're timeless.
They are. I like to think so.
Yes.
I'm curious, though, in terms of guests, am I the first guest you've had from Canada?
In studio, yes.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure we've had a Skype guest from Canada, developers.
But in studio.
But in, because I think we had guys from Vancouver, and I'm trying to remember whether, but as far as like in studio, yes. I'm pretty confident in saying, yeah, you're the first one from Canada here in studio. If I'm wrong, Dark Tetsuya will correct me shortly.
Okay.
Because he knows this show better than I do, which is fine. It's fine. That's why we have a wiki.
Well,
so.
I'm here representing for Canada.
All right. I appreciate that. What is the number one thing people in the U.S. should know about Canada?
We don't all say A and a boot.
You kind of did, though, a little bit. You definitely said it.
Okay, not all of us, though. Maybe I did, but not all of us.
Let's see. SSJ. You know what, though? Good point. Now that I'm thinking about this, I have interviewed people at, like, conventions randomly, and some of them may have been from Canada. But, like, actually sitting in on the show, you got to be the first. Yeah. So SJ100 Matt says, Canada is great. I'm going up to Toronto later this month, and says poutine is the one thing that we should know.
Correct.
About. Yeah. I'm actually very thankful that you actually brought with you ketchup chips.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, no. Yeah. No.
Why not? They make sense. But you put ketchup on French fries and hash browns and other potatoes. Why not put them on chips?
Yeah.
I get it. But you know what's funny? When I was explaining this to you last night, because we just had this hilarious, like, while you've been here, like, all these stupid differences between the countries. But, like, right now, for some reason, they're selling all-dressed chips, which we don't usually have in the U.S., but Ruffles or whatever is doing this random-ass promotion. So I was like, look, you can get your chips from back home here.
Yeah, and I should have also brought you Smarties. The chocolate candy, not the
little tart things that we associate with, like the little, yeah.
Yeah, so we have Smarties as something different completely in Canada. Uh-huh. And then I think the things that you call Smarties, we call Pop Rockets or something. I can't quite recall because I'm not a candy person, but.
All right, good to know. Dark Tetsuya in chat is confirming. I'm pretty sure he's the first Canadian we know that's actually on the show. It's official. The ambassador to Canada, Delvin, is here with us tonight.
Yes, queen.
All right. Let's get into our kickoff topic tonight, which has to do with movies, movies, movies. Like, this week, it just seems like all these video games suddenly want to turn into movies. Loki, you want to tell us a little more about what's going on this week with Hollywood's recent obsession with adapting more video games? When, and correct me if I'm wrong, video game adaptations, like, some have done okay. You know, like Resident Evil, they've made how many of those movies? Because I think they do very well on Blu-ray and home video and, you know, cult type of things.
Yes.
You know, with the horror crowd, I know there's definitely a huge fandom of Resident Evil and so forth. So I think those movies have done okay. But, like, I'm not thinking of, like, you know how, like, when there's a big, big movie, like, let's say Titanic, right? Then suddenly Hollywood is like, what are all the other disasters in history? We need to suddenly make a movie. Or, Titanic did well? Well, then we need to remake the Poseidon Adventure right away, right? Like Hollywood has this obsession with, if one thing is big, we got... So I'm trying to, like...
They have this obsession with, we are run out of ideas, and so now let's...
Yeah, we got to remake everything.
Scrape that barrel until there's no barrel left.
Although, I'm going to get this off my chest right now, because while many of you were seeing Venom in the theaters this weekend, my ass was there opening night to see A Star Is Born with Lady Gaga, which is like the fourth remake of that movie, and all I'm going to say is, yes, queen...
Well, all I'm saying is, yes, I am seeing Venom next week. No, I don't really care to see it, but it's a free movie. My dad wants to hang out, so.
Sure.
And there's nothing else playing. He's like, so you don't want to go see A Star Is Born? I'm like, no.
It's so good. I cried so much.
She's queening out.
Anyway, no, but my point is that not every remake is because, but the thing about, not to get too far, this is a video game show, but the thing about Star Is Born is that it's kind of like the one in the 50s is about like Hollywood acting. This one is very much about music making because obviously that's what Gaga does. So it's like Grammys and, you know, things like that. But anyway, well, that I can save that for another podcast. Let's talk about my point with this whole thing was why is Hollywood suddenly obsessed with we've got to make a video game movie because we have so many of them just coming out this week.
I think because they're doing like, well, this is kind of Konami a little bit. You know, they're doing, I think they have had some success with Castlevania as a series. And so now... They're like, yeah, sure, you can make our properties into things. So, like, first off, we've got Dance Dance Revolution being adapted to something.
What is there to adapt? Look.
Well, here's what they're saying, and this is going to, like, you can
wait,
think
real quick, because I want to address the first question before we move on about, like, what is Hollywood's obsession right now with this. Tiger Claw says, movies based on video games are usually a hit or miss. It depends on the source material. Some video game movies are better than others because they're closer to the source material than others. Tomb Raider, for example, that was a good video game movie. I forgot that was pretty recent, but I didn't think that one made, I mean, I didn't see the movie. I heard it was actually, like, decent. It was like it didn't like make a tragedy of the game or anything. Like, it was a good adaptation, but I don't think it made shit tons of money. Like, I don't even know if it made its budget back. But anyway, like, that's like a kind of a recent thing that came up. So anyway, sorry. So DDR, where are we going with this?
Nowhere good, unfortunately. So basically, here's how they have summarized it. The project will explore a world on the brink of destruction where only hope is to unite through the universal language of dance. Fucking stupid.
And since I know a lot of people playing the home game are probably shouting various other movies that have been about DDR in the past, we have things like DDR the Movie. So we have the FP, La Machina de Bailar, a failed DDR movie script floating around from the 2000s. That's what Rama says in chat at live.vognetwork.com. So this isn't necessarily the first movie about DDR, but I mean, here's the thing. Like, I'm going to say something y'all might not like, but those movies, even though they're DDR-inspired, they're not Dance Dance Revolution the movie. They're right. More about, you know, community. DDR is kind of a plot device, so to speak.
And I'm fine with it being a plot device. And honestly, this sounds more of like something that would, you know, lend itself better to, like, an animation or something. Like, some kid wants a... You know, make it to, like, the grand who cares? Make the stakes lower and just, like, you know, talk about, like, the community or something. But, like, instead they're going with fucking apocalypse. It's always a fucking apocalypse of some sort. And this just doesn't lend itself. You can't have, like, hey, guys, you know what? the Step Up series is doing fucking great. Let's make a movie where we save the world from an apocalypse with a, it's fucking stupid.
Through
it
the
sounds
journey
stupid
of
with an established franchise like that, and now we're going to do something different.
The only way that Emmy could save the world was to get a AAA on Brilliant to You.
This is what I'm going to say. There's no fucking story in DDR, so I don't understand like why they're going to do movies. So in my opinion, and that's my opinion, is that if they're going to do a DDR movie, it needs to have two things. It needs to have some scene where arrows go up the screen. If arrows do not go up the screen at some point in the movie, fail. Number two, that soundtrack better be the cheesiest fucking 90s Eurodance I have heard in my entire life. Because if Skillrex is on that album, throw it in the garbage.
My guess is that with the uniting of the world with dance is that it's going to incorporate different types of music and dance, and then the arrows will be the language in which they speak. So there will be arrows on the screen, but they'll just... That will be their way of communicating.
Will the arrows make a heart at some point?
Yes, and a giant heart, and then it will save the world, Sailor Moon style.
Like, the only way that this is like sounds any like a plausible thing, like to use like music to save the world type thing, it sounds like, what was it, Macross 7 or 2? Or I don't remember which Macross series they had where, I think it was 7, where they had like the rock band and they were fighting actually with music and stuff. That may have been Macross 2. I didn't watch any of those. I just remember the figures for them. So that's the only way I could see that something like that, if you want to fight with like music or something. But other than that, I just don't see how this could be a
thing. It's
going to be garbage.
This is what it is. It's just, it's a movie called Dance Dance Revolution that might have like one throw. Like,
I will
do
watch.
Do you remember when they made a Battleship movie?
With Rihanna in it.
And I know I've talked about this on a show before. I know I have.
It was fucking terrible.
Because
yeah.
Here's the thing. And why I said, if that movie did not have a scene with Liam Neeson going, "You suck my battleship," like, then it's not a battleship game.
And
I'm
they
sorry.
Had the pegs. They had the pegs in there too. And that was great. I saw it in the trailer. I'm like, this is stupid. But that's the thing. You know it's stupid. And that's what you go to see is stupid. And guess what? They're delivering stupid. So
I will say dance is kind of big right now. Like, but that, look at like, that World of Dance show on NBC. Have you like seen some of that? Like,
no.
Some, oh my God. Like, I got to say, like, some of the, like, because, you know, I love emotional porn on Facebook, right? Like, I will watch those auditions with like the little girl that like breaks the song, and then all the judges start crying, and then I'm crying, and we're all crying, and it's like 1 a.m. and I'm not in bed yet.
It's not going to be that.
Yeah, well, but I'm saying dance is big right now because that World of Dance show is actually has a lot of that. And then what? Just tonight, they've got Dancing with the Stars with little kids for some reason. I don't know. With Honey Boo Boo, Dancing with the Stars is tonight.
Oh, wait. Is she actually on it?
Yeah, Honey Boo Boo's on
it.
Oh,
Jesus.
She must be much older now. I mean, like, what, is she grown up all the way?
Yeah, but, you know, got to get those paychecks still rolling in. Like, you know, that show went off the air how many years ago? So got to pay for college. That kid will go to any college she wants. Good for her. So anyway. Dance is big right now, so why not?
Yeah,
why not DDR
okay,
the movie?
So
why not?
I just don't have high expectations for that. That being said, I'll see whatever the hell they put in the theater, so I don't really care.
Sorry, I got to say Bobby Blackwolf in chat after I talked about Honey Boo Boo. Bobby Blackwolf in chat's like, Delvin's like, well, OLR was fun, but you got a TV, right? I love it.
All right, so enough Dance Dance Revolution. So that may be a thing. We'll see. I think if it's going to suck this bad, especially since what? It's like, it's not necessarily like this would have been like something to do a decade or so ago, like when it was like super popular. Now it's not super popular. You've missed your boat.
Here's the thing. And I want y'all to know, I love dancing. You might think I'm excited about a DDR movie. I'm not. I love Dance Dance Revolution. This show wouldn't exist if it wasn't for DDR and the community. But when I heard the news about the movie and this whole plot and everything, I'm that lady in The Matrix. And you've all seen this YouTuber gif. I don't remember her name, but you see her and she's looking and she knows she's about to get unplugged. She's going to die. She's going, not like this. Not like this. And that's how I'm looking at this DDR movie. Not like this is not where I would. Not like this. Anyway. Yeah. What else is going to get ruined?
Well, let's see. The next up on the list is Monster Hunter, the movie. All right, Monster Hunter. That's a popular series. Let's see how we're going to fuck this one up. Well, the movie plot centers on the leader of a UN military team named Artemis, played... Oh, but it's got Mila Jovovich, so...
Mila Jovovich?
Jovovich, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, her. You know why she's in it?
Because it's just going to be garbage.
Better than that. Who's directing it?
Oh.
Her husband, yeah. So,
whatever.
Anyway.
You know what? It's fine. I can see this being like a schlocky...
It's a great Hollywood love story. If we're going to flop, we're going to flop together. So it's
all
great.
Right. Transported into another realm populated by monsters where she meets a hunter, Jai, with two of them teaming up to close a portal to prevent monsters from attacking Earth. It doesn't sound like Monster Hunter, but you know what, though?
Yeah, Dark Tissue in chat says, are we sure this is a Monster Hunter movie?
What it is.
It does have the video game director doing it, and it's got the name, so...
I mean, there's monsters in it, and there might be four people trying
but
to take
you know
down
what,
the monster.
Though? Honestly, though, but here's why. Like, think about it. This is why that they were going to let them do this. Look at how much money Capcom probably made from the Resident Evil movie franchise. And let's be honest. The Resident Evil movies, they're not high caliber. They were just... They're entertaining popcorn films. That's what I see this
Gore
as.
And horror fans really like them, too.
That's what I see this as. It's instead of it being zombies, it's just going to be fucking monsters now, and it's the same shit. Because she's a, you know, a UN military person. So it's basically her fucking character from, you know, the Resident Evil movies just thrown into a whole other fucking universe with CGI monsters that says CGI zombies.
I will say, out of the movies, you know, the games becoming movies, Monster Hunter is the one that kind of makes the most sense. Honestly, like, if you're going to make, like, if something has to become a movie, like Monster Hunter, I'm like, okay, well, that's not like DDR, you know?
That has at least a plot or, like, some sort of a story.
Yeah. Monsters being hunted, okay. I'm with
basic,
you.
It's basic, but
Yeah, it's basic, but I got it. I got Godzilla was a monster being hunted.
Oh, good point. Good point.
Well,
Hollywood loves a monster movie.
And then, of course, since Capcom senses, there's money to be made from our franchises. We tried Street Fighter. That didn't work out so well a few times. We tried Resident Evil. That worked out. Let's go with that. Monster Hunter? Possibly. How about we fuck over Mega Man again? He's not quite dead yet with the animated series. No, because I'm counting the animated series with that. Have you watched the animated series?
Absolutely not.
It's pretty garbage.
It's not that bad.
Our resident Mega Man fan says
it's not that bad.
It's not that bad, says
but
the person
that
watched
good
the
either.
Series that saw that there's a tiny Mega Man that's living inside of Mega Man's head. Yes, I'm sorry. It's terrible. It's fucking garbage. It's fucking garbage, and like, if they should do it in a way, if they're going to do an animated series of Mega Man and they want to be silly like that, then do it like the fucking Teen Titans series. I mean, Teen Titans Go. Just do it like that, where it's self-referential and just silly and
weird. Oh, wait, were you talking about the new Mega
Man?
The
new one.
Oh, okay, sorry, no. I was referring to the old one.
Oh, no. The old one, that's fine. That was a long time ago. We made our mistakes back then. That's...
Yeah, I was referring to the old one for the
I'm
record.
Talking about the new Mega Man series.
No,
new Mega Man series, yeah. So they're thinking about doing, and not necessarily an animated Mega Man series, a live-action Mega Man film.
That makes me very nervous.
Based on the influential and globally beloved Mega Man franchise, Capcom aims to appeal to a diverse audience. Oh, God. Including not only game players, but action movie fans as well.
Oh,
you know, this is how we
boy.
Get... This right here is how we get that prototype of Mega Man that fucking was scrapped. You know, the one that looked like Bomberman Act Zero? That bullshit?
Oh, yeah.
That's how we get this shit.
Yeah.
I'm still watching it, though.
Even still, every day I hear about the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, I'm just like going...
I will watch that because Jim Carrey's in it, and that's the only reason why.
Is going to be a mess? It's going to be a mess.
I'm a little worried when they say live action because immediately I get the picture, the cover art of Mega Man 2 in my head.
Oh, with the human Mega Man?
With the human Mega Man, and that just terrifies me
but
to
what
see
if that,
that
human Mega Man was played by none other than Nathan Fillion?
Who's going to play Mega Man? Well, I imagine if Mega Man is a boy, they're going to get a child actor to play Mega Man, and they'll probably humanize. Like, I don't think Mega Man will look so robot-y. But Mega Man will look like a little kid, but maybe with an arm that shoots lasers.
We'll get none other than child actor Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, God.
He's in his 30s. I mean, like...
He was a child actor at one time. That's still...
That's like the whole thing where I'm like, wait a minute. Haley Joel Osment is still voicing Sora. Like, can, okay, that's going to be interesting because Sora's going to be very much an adult now because Haley Joel Osment's, like, not a little... I don't know if y'all know, but since, like, Kingdom Hearts, like, the last game was, like, 15 years ago, like, Haley Joel Osment is not a kid anymore. I don't know if y'all know.
He a very grown man now.
I don't know if y'all have heard, but like a lot of those like kid actors have grown up. Yeah. Like that kid who played Anakin in the first Star Wars movie. Yeah, he grew up and he also was like, you know what? Acting is not for me because people are fucking mean. Because, you know, people were really fucking rude to him because they blamed the failures of Episode 1 on what? A 7-year-old boy. Because that's a rational thing to do. Anyway.
Who knows it's George Lucas. Come on.
Let's see. Looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Dungeon Buster says, I've seen artists try to make Mega Man look realistic. The Mega Man 1 box art did not turn out well. No,
the only positive, though,
I think there's a way to make Mega Man not look... Well, like, he just won't look like the robot, except maybe in, like, one scene.
The only positive that I have here, and because I'm a fan of his as well, is that the it's being produced, I guess... along with Masaoka, which was the guy from...
That was the guy in Heroes,
yes.
Right?
Oh. So he's, like, kind of helping shape this. So,
okay, you have my attention.
You know, he's kind of a geeky guy that, like, yeah. I feel would...
Has
you know,
probably actually played Mega Man.
Played yes. Mega Man, and, like, so I'm hopeful.
Okay.
Once again, though...
We'll put that in column A.
Once again, though, I will see it no matter how garbage it is, so I can complain about it.
I think it has potential to be really good if they went the X series route as opposed to the original Mega Man, but it would be weird for them to jump to the X series and not start at the beginning for people who've never played Mega Man before.
Yeah.
So it's either here or there.
I think it would actually be, like, you guys are going to disagree with me, but I think it would be very smart of them. Like, if they want to make a good movie, they're going to really keep the references to the games very light. Like, there will be a Mega Man, there will be a Dr. Light and a Dr. Wily, and there will be some type of robot masters, but maybe it's not like...
But you just described the game.
I know, but, like, it's not, like, levels that he's... Like, it's just going to be, like, you know, maybe it's like Scott Pilgrim. Like, he's got to find these other kids.
I would be fine with Scott Pilgrim type of movie, yeah.
He's got to find these other kids that are actually the creations of
Dr.
Wily. Vegan
Man!
Yeah, exactly. Now that I'd be okay with. So anyway, going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. SS2100 Matt says, at the end, they will say, he is a Mega Man. Because, you know, we all y'all love it when somebody in the movie says the title of the movie. It's
roll
like
credits.
Oh, yeah, got it. Good job. All right, anyway. There you go. So three video game movies coming soon. Maybe not that soon, but you know, eventually. All right. Let's move on into some how was your gaming week and the types of video games that you've been playing this week. Loki, we'll start with you.
I played Forza Horizon 4. So I played through a little bit of that. I don't know what I'm probably training my drivatars badly. Because I am not on the roads most of the time. I'm just going everywhere else. It's a very pretty game. It runs really nice on my laptop, so I'm happy about that. Then I did play a little bit of DDR Ace. I went to the arcades actually. I've been meaning to go over there and play for like a long time, but the problem is it's like so packed over there. Dave and Buster's that can never really get on the machine, especially since there's fuckers that like to camp on the machine all day long. It's like, don't you have school or something? I mean, like, shouldn't you be working a job? I don't know. But, so I did that. And then, you know, other arcade games with the Golfland, this because I had to keep my son away from my other son because my other son was sick. And so that means I had to take him out of the house the entire day. So that was pretty much Saturday, all arcade day. So we were playing different arcade games. I got to play the giant Space Invaders game, which, Mario Kart was pretty fun. Played a little bit of that. And very sad that I saw the DDR Max 2 machine that's at Roosevelt Golf Land, and it is a sad. It's off, and it's a very sad sight.
I didn't take Delvin to Golf Land while he's here for a reason. I was just like, you know, it's skippable.
It's the golf course is nice. We went and played mini golf. They have it all decorated for Halloween, so that's kind of cool. I wish they put as much effort into fixing their machines up as, you know, they don't give a shit. As long as the ticket spitters are working, then they don't give a shit about anything else. But it was a sad sight because I was like,
do you have mini golf in Canada?
We do.
Okay, well then, yeah, it's just no point.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then what else? So, Pokemon Go, and just, yeah, that's pretty much it. I didn't get the chance to play Super Mario Party because my kids basically have been, you know, monopolizing the Switch, and I didn't bother to purchase Spider-Man because my wife's monopolizing the TV to watch a stupid baking show that she could watch.
Oh, the Great British Bake Off?
Yes.
Oh, good times. I love that show.
It's a great show, but I wish I could have the TV once in a while.
Has she watched Nailed It? Because that's another great one.
You know what? Like, I set up a TV in our bedroom. She's like, I want to watch Netflix in bed. Okay, cool. Set up the old TV in the bedroom with the Netflix box. Watch your fucking baking show in here. Then I can play on the 4K TV that we bought with my nice 4K system to play some 4K games. Nope. Gotta fucking watch a goddamn baking show in 4K instead. It's like, oh.
We need to see every detail on those cakes.
Oh, and they are fucking delicious looking. So, I mean, no fault of that show. It's just, it's
I understand.
It's everything.
I understand. All right. Delvin, I'll let you go next because I know we have a little bit of overlap. So I'll let you, you know, I can always just talk about Forza. How was your gaming week, Delvin?
For the past week and a bit, I just recently got back into playing World of Warcraft. I'm back on my bullshit again of playing World of Warcraft. Any fans listening from Video Game Realness know that I swore that I was not going to play.
I am right there with you.
I swore. I'm like, nope, not going to play this expansion. I'm done. I'm not playing World of Warcraft anymore. And then I blame Cameron because he started playing, and we enable each other. Mm. One of us will start playing and then enable the other person to start playing.
It's kind of like the friendship Shane and I have.
Not totally his fault, but then another friend started playing too, and I was like, okay, well, fuck, the band's getting back together again. So I don't want to be the one left out. So I got back playing about a week and a half ago and power leveled all the way to 120 and then started grinding through dungeons, mythic pluses, raiding. And I'm such a nerd that, you know, the raid resets are on the Tuesday.
Right.
So Tuesday night, I did all my raiding for 1 week because I was leaving Wednesday. So Tuesday I did all of normal raid, and I did a bit of heroic with my guild, and did some, like, I did everything that I needed to do for the week. I did the mythic plus so I would get something in my box for the week and all of it. And so that was my gaming week mostly. I also, like I did mention,
Bonds 006 says you did not want to be the diva holding out to get the band get together.
Exactly.
So you did not want to be Posh Spice.
No,
you did not want to be the holdout.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, whatever. Been playing for 10 years. What's another year, right? So who cares? I did play some Mega Man, and of course Pokemon Go a lot. We've been playing over the weekend.
We were hanging with Dark Soccer yesterday, actually, since obviously she's not available on Sundays.
Yeah.
So we kind of spent yesterday with her so you could meet her. And then we ended up, she did not have Mewtwo yet. And it was like me, you, her, and Alan, like, all play. So it's like, okay, we have four people together. Where's the Mewtwo at? And we're like, maybe somebody will be there if we get there right at hatch. And sure enough, there was this couple walked right up when we did. And it was like, oh, good. We were hoping other people would be here. So, like, between the six of us, actually, no, there was a seventh account.
There was a seventh person somewhere.
A mysterious seventh player.
Yeah. That possible spoofer.
Possible spoofer.
But thank you, spoofer.
Yeah, because we took that one down, and then we did the other one at the bridge.
Yes.
Which, like, the same thing happened. We're like, where are they? And I looked over, and I'm like, that dude's on his phone over there.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other guy.
So
that was funny.
It's funny, we're talking about the Mewtwo. I have done probably about 8 Mewtwo raids between here and back in Toronto, and not for the life of me could I catch more than one goddamn Mewtwo. So I did catch one here,
yeah,
and so now I have two, but that's it.
Yeah.
And it's hard now to get to find Mewtwo raids back in Toronto, because it seems like once the initial rush of Mewtwo coming out was done, nobody's doing raids anymore.
I find that people still want to do them. I mean, it might be harder, especially in like less trafficked areas, to find the people, but people still generally want to do them because they're a really good experience, and it's only way you can get rare candy and items. So you might as well use your free pass for the day. If you can get a group, you might as well do it. There's no harm in doing it.
I did join there's a Discord group for the Toronto area for Pokemon Go, so I'm gonna utilize that a bit more now that we're starting to get into the colder months in Toronto. It's a lot harder to get people to do raids unless you actually coordinate.
Plus, load up on Trashymon here in California, and then when you go back, you could just be like, does anyone want to do distance trading? Because it's like 3,000 kilometers.
Yeah.
Because like when I open my Alolan eggs, I'm very particular. I will tend to – so like this is why if you're on my friends list and you're somewhere in the East Coast, like I've been opening your presents a lot more lately. Like if you're like Atlanta, Toronto, or I've got a little group, there's like some New York, some New Jersey. I'm like kind of figuring out who's where. I'm opening those gifts when I have the holes in my inventory for Alolan eggs, because if nothing else, if I get another fucking Sandshrew or Grimer or something, I can trade it for a hella distance.
Right.
And I think they're doing the same thing with my eggs because then the eggs in the West Coast, you can at least trade for distance and get that metal, which, you know, the metal doesn't really mean anything. It's just EP.
No,
but
for the people that are in those type of Discord groups, they want they're full completionists. You know, they're checking their IVs. They're doing badges and medals and things like that. So it helps.
Yeah. So cool. And then I think it's also fun to have Pokemon from like other places. Like, so now you have a Mewtwo from Sacramento that will like kind of remind you of that day.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Just like my one and only Regirock is from Atlanta. So during Dragon Con, that was the only time I was actually able to capture Regirock. But then I also go, that was the time I got Bobby Blackwolf to actually do a Pokemon raid. So that's nice. Like, you know, like, woo, we got a little memory there.
And then we traded Unknown today and it became Lucky.
Yeah, lucky.
So I got the lucky D.
Yeah, he got the lucky D because I gave him one of the unknown. I got a Dragon Con because I saved, like, you know, I basically, like, oh, you don't have an unknown yet? Here you go. You know,
I don't have one yet.
But here's, oh, really? Next, remind me next episode. I'll get you one. So then what left, you got the lucky unknown, but because you were like, what do you want? And I'm like, my Kanto Dex is done. There's like literally nothing. Just give me trash. So you gave me a Pidgey.
And you got a lucky
Pidgey. I got a lucky Pidgey.
It's because you haven't gotten enough lucky stuff yet.
Oh, I really haven't.
The first few trades you do, like first 10 trades, are going to be lucky. So whatever I get from you, it's going to be lucky. So
yeah. Anyway, so that was a little irritating, but anyway.
Well, max out that Pidgey then.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, because when they're lucky, they get good stats. And this guy is a 15 attack, 15 defense. So I'm like, well, if nothing else, he might just be a funny gym defender. If nothing else, like, why not?
It'll be half price to level him up too.
Yeah, just throw him in random gyms somewhere, level him up a little bit, and throw him in a gym somewhere. Anyway, my game of the week. So I've been playing not just World of Warcraft. You know, I've also been. I'm not on the raiding thing, and I don't think I will be. But I just enjoy like the world quests, the leveling up experience. I started a new monk just because I wanted to level up again. It seems like they fixed a lot of the level syncing dungeons thing, because when that patch first went in, I was pissed. Like, I was not having a good time, but now it seems it's fine now.
What happened?
So the day that patch went in that's rescaled the old world where all the dungeons were 1 through 60, I went in and I got like Dire Maul or something, and it was a shit show. Like, because people were not used to it the new way, and it was just like, it was impossible to heal.
So you could get dungeons that were like for level 60 at level 20?
No, they would still unlock later. My panda shaman was like level 50, but we got that, but like other people that were higher would get synced down. Like, for example, I'm level 27 and I just queued for dungeon. I got Wailing Caverns at 27, but I was scaled down to what a player in Wailing Caverns would be, which is kind of like the 14 system a little bit. It's this weird iteration of it. Yeah. Whereas like 14 just straight up level syncs you. It's a little different. It's a little different in WoW. But anyway, I've been playing a lot of Forza Horizon 4. I did a stream of that earlier this week, and that game is fun. Forza is so extra. That's the greatest thing about it. And I love that my character is named Potato, and they actually say, okay, Potato, do you want to go get some new influence? Okay, Potato, it's great to meet you, Potato. Potato, we're going to need you in a movie. So I just love that they call me Potato, because it seems very appropriate.
Why do they call you Potato?
Because I asked them to.
Oh.
Because the game has, like, all these names loaded
into
it.
They always call me Matt.
Because they okay, here's the thing. Here's the funny thing. I think it reads your Xbox profile. Because when I started the full game, they were like, do you want us to call you Rob? And I was like, I'm like, let me see what the other names are. And the first page is all like, quote unquote, normal names. And they have a pretty impressive list of like 300 names. I mean, sadly, not everybody's name's going to be in there, especially
if you have Delvin's not going to be in there.
Yeah, if you have a unique name, it's not going to be in there. Sorry. But if your name isn't in there, then you go to page 2, which is nicknames. And there's all these different nicknames that they'll call you. So you can pick one. You know, maybe I don't know if they'll call you Mega Man, but they might call you Mega. I bet Mega is one of the names that they'll call you. And one of the names that was in there was Potato. So I was doing the stream. I was like, perfect. That's a perfect name for me, Potato.
Can I change that? Because I would love to change
that. You can change it. Just you go into the menu and it's right where you pick your car, I think, or wherever you customize your character, you can customize what they call you. It's in the menu. It's not hard to miss. So then you change it at any time. So if I feel like I don't want them to call me Potato anymore, but it's all voice acted. Like when I say they call me Potato, like the voice acting says it. Like it's not just the text in the game, like naming your character in an RPG, like Butts, so that you make all the characters say, get over here, Butts, you know, and all that stuff. Right. So anyway, but Fours is fun. I'm not quite in the open world yet, so I feel like I can't really give my full thoughts because I'm still making my way through the season qualifiers.
Oh, you have to still do... I didn't realize that I'm not in the open world. I thought I was...
There's like a pre-open world, so like you're still seeing everything, like the other people and stuff. But I noticed today there were way less people in there than there were when the day the game came out because more people have gotten through it. So they're in the real open world now.
Oh. So, I guess I should play through the game then.
Yeah. The seasons are on a fixed schedule change when you start. So it basically forces you to go. So the very first thing in the game, you play all the seasons in rapid succession. That's just to get you a taste, right? But then when you start the game, it's like, okay, it's autumn. Go do this race, and this race, and then it's going to be winter. And then get this many fans, and it will be, you know, I'm assuming spring and then summer. Once you get through all four seasons, then you go into the real game mode where the seasons rotate like once a week, like a real game week.
Ah.
So I think they had winter last week, so I would imagine it's spring in game right now, or it's going to turn to spring on Friday. And then that's when you're like racing with other people and doing those events. Everybody's kind of on the same clock, so to speak. So there's that. Yeah, gosh, I don't know what else to say about Forza. If you think you might enjoy a new type of racing game, I urge you to check out the demo. I think Forza is one of the must-own titles on Xbox One. Like, it honestly, in my opinion, is Microsoft's best exclusive right now. And yes, I'm including Halo. Fight me. So, Forza Horizon is Microsoft's best exclusive right now, and maybe I'll change my mind on that later, but, like, these are, like, must-have games if you own an Xbox One, and even if you don't own an Xbox One, the great thing is, they're on PC.
That's where I got mine. I don't need an Xbox One.
That's the reason I got rid of my Xbox One.
Because you could play them all on PC.
All the Xbox One games I wanted to play were all on PC, so I was like, okay, well, time to get a PS4, and I traded it in.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. And I bought it digitally, so you get the whole, like, I have it on PC, and if I want to play it on my Xbox One, I can, which I did today, so you could watch a little bit and see the game, you know, because my office is a little cramped. It's harder to watch me play on PC, so we, you know, did that a little bit, so it's nice to...
And your TV's bigger.
Yeah, TV is a lot bigger. Yeah, it's nicer, so... Anyway, Bonds 006 says, I want all Forza games on PC. Well, they probably will be in the future. Forza Horizon 3 was on PC, too. I don't know about Motorsport, because I don't follow that series as closely.
7 is, I think.
I prefer the arcade racers to the simulation racers. That's why you don't hear me talk like this about Gran Turismo, but I fucking love Mario Kart and F-Zero, because those are arcade racers. There's a big difference. Burnout. I love that game. That's an arcade racer. I stand Blur really hard, and I'm really sad that franchise is gone, because that was more of an arcade racer, too. So that's my thought. Let's see. What else? So we went to round one, I should quickly say.
Yes.
You got to have your first experience at round one. What'd
you think? I forgot to mention that in my, I guess it's part of my gaming week.
That's right.
But, real quick, I just want to go back to Pokemon Go. Now, did you make sure to get one of those Pikachus with a hat, because they're very hard to find?
They're gone now. So they went away today.
Oh, thank God.
I'm glad you asked, Loki. I lucked out. I tapped the one on my house yesterday morning. Not only was it a Pikachu in a hat, it was a shiny Pikachu in a hat.
Nice.
So knowing that those, I mean, as annoying those little guys were because they were everywhere for like 2 days, like that makes that shiny really rare. So like my Pokemon E-peen is really big right now because not only did I get the shiny hat Pikachu, but I got a shiny Drowsy today. So
that's
like,
right, you did.
My shiny E-peen is like real shiny right now. Real shiny. I bathed for you. Anyway, where were we? Oh, yes, round one.
Round one.
Speaking of shiny.
Yeah.
And new places.
So, yeah, round one was amazing. It's huge. There's tons of arcade games in there. And we don't really have very many arcades anymore in the Toronto area. There is a place that opened up recently, right near the CN Tower and Sky Dome area that has arcade in it, but it is a fraction of what is in round one in terms of both ticket spinners and arcade games. Like round one just had a huge, a mass amount of games. So I was there with you playing. I got to play some old fighting games that I really enjoy. They had Tatsunoko versus Capcom on arcade, which I had never played. I had only played it on Wii.
Right.
So it was fun to play that. I was playing some King of Fighters. I was playing some Street Fighter. They had Mario and Sonic at the Rio Olympics.
Yeah, right, random.
Which I didn't even know was an arcade game.
Yeah.
And also Luigi's Mansion. I had no idea that
that was...
Yeah,
they had one of those at Dave & Buster's that was broken.
Aw.
Yeah, I had no idea that these things were ever made as arcade games. And I'm kind of wondering why they're not more available and rampant. But I guess it's just arcades... probably aren't as big money makers. Why they have those stupid ticket spinners?
Yeah, I got to play the new Beat Mania 2DX, the Cannonball Rush, I think it's called, which is a racing theme. I didn't realize that, but that's what they call it. And I actually played some of the new songs. Like usually, I'm really bad. Like just ask JD, who goes to round one with me a lot. Like when I go play 2DX, I'm really bad about what's in four style that I can go back and play. So I like never play the new songs. But this time, I really did play some of the new songs. There's some good stuff in there. It's just hard to hear. In there,
yes,
really hard to hear.
Just gonna say, I was trying to do a rhythm game. I can't remember which one I was playing, to be honest. But it was very hard to play because I couldn't keep. I did not hear the music at all. Period. Yeah.
I should have thought to tell you to bring headphones, and I didn't remember this myself because a lot of people you can put headphones.
Yeah,
in a lot
there
of
were
machines.
Headphone jacks.
Yeah,
which is
helps.
A great idea because if without it, you can't fucking hear shit in there.
Well. So, and I got to see Dance Rush. I didn't play it because the dance area was a little crowded, and I was like, I'm going to just keep it real. We had just had Lucille's barbecue, and so I was feeling very puffy, and I was not... I was not going
to
get on.
That was not the moment to
like,
start.
No, that was not. And JD's like, come on, play, dance, dance. I'm like, you don't understand. If I get on that machine, it's going to turn into Dance Dance Fart. And none of y'all want that right now.
Nobody deserves that kind of treatment.
No, you don't deserve that type of treatment. The strangers don't deserve that type of treatment. It's not going to happen. I am perfectly fine just watching.
Although
you guys play.
There were people there who were doing like their gym workouts there, and
right,
and there was a little bit of funk going on.
They had their shorts and their little gym towels,
bottled water, like they were full on.
But then I think back, and I'm
that's
like,
just how I play DDR though. That I need those things in order
in
to like, not be
totally
in your garage.
I
yes,
get
in
it.
Garage.
I totally get it. So.
Because if I don't have the towel, it's going to be dripping all over the place, and then no one wants to slip in that.
Yeah. So, anyway, so I watched, and JD played DDR, and he did go into the retro mode, and he played, like, D2R, so I could see, like, the full background and how it emulates DDR Extreme and all that, and it was silly, but in a good way. Like, I appreciated the throwback. So, that was pretty cool that I got to see that. So, anyway... Very long winded answer to gaming week, but it was pretty busy because when you're here, I've got to take you to all the fun spots to play games.
Yeah.
We never did make it to Coin Op. I was going to take you there, but then I read they didn't have a Killer Instinct machine.
Yeah.
Which I wanted. Delvin needs to play Killer Instinct in the arcade, and I can't remember where around here has one.
Maybe at that old arcade that's in Sutter Street might have one. They have a.
Oh, I always forget arcade. That place is there.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's
well,
what,
you
that's
know,
like
we
my...
might luck out because we're going to go to Reno tomorrow.
Right.
Which, that's a whole nother story about why we're going to go to Reno, but we are. And they have arcades there that Time forgot. You might luck out and find
it. Okay,
a...
we have to go check them
out. Yeah, we'll go check them out because that... I know Harrah's has a big arcade.
Okay.
Oh, Peppermill has like that retro arcade.
Okay.
So remind me, go to Peppermill.
Sounds like a plan.
Got it. All right. Let's move on to some actual gaming news and not casino talk. So let's get into some gaming news with Loki. Start us off tonight.
And so since we're not going to be talking about movies anymore.
Yes.
I know that you guys are disappointed. Let's talk about something else that's coming soon. Rumored to be coming soon. A new model of the Nintendo Switch. According to the Wall Street Journal, Nintendo is going to be introducing a new version of the Switch next year. No word on what it is other than it will probably share some features with the current version and be compatible with existing Switch software. Well, you don't say. That's just a safe guess, Wall Street Journal. Nintendo is apparently, they're debating on what new hardware and software features to include in the upgrade. Here's an idea. If you don't know what to put in the upgrade, don't fucking upgrade your system. Unless you have a plan. You don't need to upgrade it if you have nothing to upgrade it with. And what do we really need to upgrade it with? I mean, the only thing I could see that they could do to add to the system, really, is more storage. Because 32 gigabytes onboard storage is fucking stupid nowadays.
I'm imagining, like, on this is going to sound ridiculous, Loki, but I think they just, like, if they do, like, a 2019, my hope is that they would not segregate like they did with new 3DS and 3DS, where you're going to have shit like Xenoblade Chronicles that only plays on new Switch. I would really hate to see that happen this early in the game. Not that it's an impossibility, because there is a potential that Nintendo might just go in there and zhuzh it up a little bit. They're just going to zhuzh it up, meaning just a little more memory. Little fancier screen. We're just gonna come in here, do a little makeover, get the guys from Queer Eye to come, give a little makeover, you know, just so make sure Jonathan
Van
Ness
patch out that Taker chip so that you can't run that homebrew, because that's really what's, you know, got our knickers in a bunch.
Make sure Jonathan Van Ness comes out and says, gorgeous, this is a gorgeous screen, it's very gorgeous, we're gonna have a very gorgeous looking system here.
So yeah. One of my theories that we've talked about before is that Pokemon is the big game that's obviously coming next year.
Yes.
And that still is a game that is geared towards kids. So my theory and thoughts is that whatever remake or redesign or upgrade that they're coming out with could potentially be a portable-only version of the Switch that'll be a bit smaller for kids to use, and it'll be a bit cheaper so that you're not giving your kid a $300 handheld system that they'll throw around inevitably and throw on the ground and whatever. So that might be the angle they're going, and then that will just be for people who only want to play the Switch on the go. They'll have like a better screen, like a smartphone type screen, so for better battery life, because we know that the Switch as it is now has poor battery life on the go. So I think that might be the angle they're going, and it won't segregate the market that way.
That's an answer I'm comfortable with. I'm like, that's a good answer. That me on Family Feud. Good answer. Good answer.
Yeah, except that's not going to happen.
Here comes Loki.
Here's why it's not going to happen, okay? Because, you know, the reason why it's only a 720p screen in the first place is because it can't run anything higher than that in portable mode. That's why it has to be plugged in, because they're underclocking the CPU in that and GPU to be able to run what's on there. So for them to put a 1080p screen in there, it's just not going to happen because they can't do it. So if anything, I don't really know. It's just an excuse, really, just to upgrade that chip so that they can't have homebrew in there. It's really all it is.
I just hope if they do this, they take the 3DS out back and shoot it. That also is kind of, in my opinion, segregating the portable market, is that they still have these games like WarioWare that are coming out on the 3DS that we're not getting on the Switch. Now, yes, I understand the WarioWare has like the blowing mechanics and some things that don't really exist on the Switch, right? Like, you know, the microphone and everything. So I get
it. There's a microphone on the Switch.
Is there?
I think so.
I don't think so. I think that's why everything had to go through a smartphone. or you plug in a headphone or that whole thing. Because I don't think there's one built into it. There's no camera either, like there is on the 3DS. So there's there's some things, you know. So I understand why it can't like be one for one. But like that Luigi's Mansion remake, that should be on the Switch.
That should have been a Switch game.
You know, there's a lot of stuff. So I do hope if they're going to ask us to get this newer Switch, they really need to take the 3DS out back and shoot it.
They really need to have some pretty, you know, kick-ass features that they're adding to it to get people to want it. Because just look at, like, all the refreshes that they've done with the 3DS, you know, made it bigger, you know, added a little nub that no one wanted.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I see where Delvin's going. Make a newer Switch that doesn't have detachable controllers, doesn't have HDMI out or any of that type of stuff. They can remove components, which will make the system overall cheaper.
Not having detachable controllers is going to be a big mistake, because here's one problem. First off, you got games like Super Mario Party, which, oh, hey, you want to play that game? Well, you got to detach the fucking controllers to play that game, because we don't work in handheld
mode. Well, but that's because of the whole laying the screens next to each other thing, which is kind of magic, yeah. I will say, yeah.
It's stupid. It's dumb, though, that you need to have it just to do the motion controls and stuff.
But I feel like that whole laying the screens next to each other sort of thing, I'm like, there's more to that we're going to see
right,
in a later game.
I think that might just be one mode of the game. That's yeah. Not,
no, but I mean, that technology, that concept, we're going to see it again.
And what better way to perhaps do that if more people have more of the portable to-go version of Switch?
Maybe.
Potentially.
All right, well, I mean, we'll see where we go with it. I mean, technically, it is a rumor. They may not do anything, but I wouldn't put it past Nintendo
bet
to do it,
though, because
XL.
Honestly, I don't know. Why redesign it now? What was so bad about it? I mean, unless you fix your stupid, you know, online support with the whole app and, like,
why do a PS4 mini 2 years after PS4 launches?
Oh, yeah.
I don't
PS4
get that
Pro.
Either.
Or PS4 Pro. Or,
Pro
you know,
makes sense because it has you can push better graphics with it. It has stronger processing power. But it's not segregating the marketplace because it still runs, you know, all the same games and everything. I just don't see
We may also be overthinking it, to be fair, because then my mind also goes, well, you know, they did do a new Xbox One, like, just a year, and it was a gig instead of, and it was a, I think, a black, or no, they did a different color or something, too.
Right.
And it's not that big a deal. So maybe this whole thing is not going to be that big a deal. Yeah. It's going to be, like you said in the very beginning, more onboard storage memory to start, and then maybe like some different colors.
I think it makes sense because they're having these installs with different games that are, you know, people are buying stuff more digitally. That the indie game marketplace is seriously driving, I think, a lot of sales for the system because there's not a ton of games coming out, especially like mainline, you know, Switch games.
Yes and no, because I think at this point the Switch has the backlog where when somebody comes to me and says, if I buy a Switch, what game should I buy? I'm sitting there going, did you have a Wii U? And I'll tell you, 99% of the time the answer is no. So I'm like, all right, you need to get Breath of the Wild. You need to get Mario Odyssey. You need to get Mario Party 8. Do you like Skyrim? Okay, you might need to get Skyrim. You need to get, you know, and it's like there's a growing library of just Switch games where it's like Bayonetta. I always recommend Bayonetta 1 and 2. You know, there's just a growing library of games now where it's like, I kind of feel like the Switch like doesn't need to justify, like, we don't have enough games to play on the Switch. That was Microsoft's problem, is that they didn't have enough exclusives where it's like, you can play Rise, Son of Rome.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But everything else Microsoft was offering at that time was on PlayStation 4.
Correct.
Which is why, and I'm bringing this up again because you and I were just talking about this like last night. We were having a little nerd slumber party and talking about this. And I said, how quickly we forget never forget, the biggest news out of E3 2018 is that Microsoft acquired a bunch of fucking studios. They are laying out this path to get them back in the front of the pack, and that is going to be when they unleash whatever their next system is, they're going to have all these games only playable on Xbox. It's just the question's going to be, are you going to put out Forza Horizon type games, Crackdown type games as exclusives, or are you going to put out Rise, Son of Rome?
Yeah.
Because one of them will make Microsoft in the lead, at least in the US. One of them, pack it up. Y'all know what I mean. All right. But and anyway, in Nintendo's case, we've always known this is Nintendo's thing that is going to always put them in a league of their own, is that not only does Nintendo make hardware, Nintendo is the underscore bolded, the best game maker making video games.
True story.
It's just that
I don't know if that's the case anymore, honestly. I don't.
There's a long pause because I'm looking. I gave him that look.
I get it. Like, Super Mario Odyssey was a great game. But, I mean, other companies make great games too. And, like, I'm just saying
Nintendo's the best.
I think we're giving them too much. Well, it's fine that you're doing this bullshit because you made Super Mario Odyssey. It's fine you're doing this bullshit because you made, you know, Breath of the Wild. Like, I don't know.
Bobby Blackwolf is trying to summarize what you're saying in quotes here. I get it. Nintendo makes great games, but Nintendo sucks.
Yeah, they suck at everything else. And you know what? And I understand that you think, well, it doesn't matter. They make great games. Yeah, but if you're writing it on hardware that doesn't make any fucking sense, or they have like shit that gets in the way, that's going to be the problem.
I get it. Like, I get it when people are like, why won't Nintendo just put their games out on the PlayStation 4? That would fix everything. I get it.
Never going to happen.
Exactly. I can look at that and say, wow, that would be fucking awesome. That would be like, gaming would never be better than if Nintendo made games for the Sony PlayStation 4 and Microsoft did all of the online component. Like, that would be the perfect thing.
Oh, that would be perfect.
Not going to ever fucking happen, but I might masturbate to that later.
Yeah. Great theory. Great idea. Never going to happen.
Well, let's see. We'll just have to wait and see what the system's going to be. With everything with Nintendo, my expectations are low.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about Fortnite. You want to talk about what's fucking huge in gaming right now? Doesn't matter what system you own, because now we got the crossplay problem solved. So this game is literally everywhere. Fortnite. It's on the phones. It's on the Switch. It's on the PS4. It's on the PC. It's on Macs. It's everywhere.
You even have celebrities playing it during the Emmys.
Yes, as we learned on RuPaul's podcast this last week, Carson Daly was playing Fortnite during the Emmys.
Yeah.
Apparently. So anyway, Fortnite is still going, and now there's going to be more encouragement to try to kind of keep that Fortnite train going. Because, you know, one place where PUBG is probably, like, PUBG lost a lot of steam in this whole, you know, they were the number one, number two game on Twitch for a long time, and then Fortnite came out, and it seemed like PUBG news was getting really light, and they started to kind of fall behind a little bit. So, you know, and I'm not totally shading PUBG, but that's just, you know, the facts are facts. Go look at the Twitch standings. PUBG is not number one anymore.
Facts are facts,
facts
America.
Facts are facts, America. All right, so anyway, Epic wants to keep Fortnite out in the lead. So here's an idea. Why not pay content creators? And this is interesting, because I can't think of a lot of, like, game makers. Because, you know, some game makers want to stop content creators, Nintendo. One is, maybe that's not completely fair, but you know what I mean. Sometimes they hold them back a little bit. But Epic is launching a support a creator event that will send real money to folks on, like, Twitch and YouTube when gamers make purchases with V-Bucks. So starting October 8th until the end of 2018, if you put in the name of a creator in Fortnite's shop to reward them when you buy a costume or glider. So, you know, that. So guess what you're going to start hearing on every podcast? Who knows? Maybe this one. I don't know. It's going to be use offer code OLR at checkout.
That's offer code OLR.
Yeah, that's right. It's offer code OLR at checkout. So watch these content creators of Fortnite. Wait for it. And let's find our best content creators plugging their offer codes that they're going to put in at checkout.
This is standard business nowadays. And because, you know, you're not getting paid by YouTube or Twitch that much. I mean, so you got to make your money somewhere.
But this is interesting because the only, like, qualifications for this, you have to produce Fortnite related material in the past 30 days, have at least 1,000 social media followers, which sounds high, but social media, like I have that on Twitter, like not to be that guy, but like, you know, if you have been on social media and working all that long enough and frequent enough, you're probably gaining a lot of followers. So and I didn't see if that is 1,000 YouTube, 1,000 Twitch. I don't know, but you have to have 1,000 followers and you have to avoid illegal or toxic behavior. So you can't be a jerk. Fair enough. It's not going to be, it's not going to pay your mortgage. 50,000 V-Bucks, that's about $500. The creator will get $25. So that's like 5%, which, I mean, it's not a
it's
bad.
It's better than nothing.
It's right. It's better than nothing. Somebody like Ninja.
Oh, he's going to be raking it in.
Oh, it is. He's going to fill a bathtub full of money. It's going to be like that scene with Demi Moore in Indecent Proposal where she's laughing on the bed. That's going to be Ninja. Okay.
It already is Ninja.
Anyway, so yeah, it's going to incentivize content creators to move. Sorry. And Loki, yes, in some ways, like, you know, there's other ways that content creators can make money through like biddies on Twitch and subscriptions and all that. But you know what? Knowing that, wow, if I keep playing Fortnite, I can make a little more money is going to keep people playing Fortnite. It's smart. It even makes me want to go, I have 1,000 social media followers. Maybe I need to play Fortnite some night. I'm not going to, but I hope some other companies, it would be pretty cool if they follow up on this. It would be pretty rad.
And this, and then it's kind of another way to keep Fortnite popular, because one of the, like, if Fortnite just stays on Twitch or YouTube as the number one most watched game, it just keeps it in people's face, essentially.
It does. Like, here's the new mode. Here's the new stuff. Here's all the new crap you can buy on the online marketplace. For sure. Anyway, well, let's move on. Loki.
All right. So apparently, you know, for the longest time, we've been asking for the ability to be able to change our PlayStation Network usernames. And Sony's always said, oh, yeah, don't worry. We'll have something worked out soon. You know, we're working on it. We're looking into it, blah, blah, blah. Well, now that might actually be getting closer, because apparently there's been some game studios that have been speaking anonymously to different social media outlets and letting them know that, hey, that they've been participating in bug fixing and tweaking settings and stuff like that to make sure that it's going to be their games are compatible with these PlayStation Network name profile changes or usernames. So they have like the option to edit username. They have like a guide that they've been going off of to kind of work on it. So it is something that is coming up. But we don't know when yet. I remember that they were originally talking that they're going to make the announcement at PSX, but that's not going to happen this year. So maybe around that time, maybe the end of this year. I don't know.
There's nothing to stop them from just doing an internet press release. I mean, that's the way you can do things now. So they've got that PlayStation blog. They've got a Twitter account. They dump a bombshell like that, and it's going to run around the internet real quick. So that's something people have been asking for. It does seem ridiculous that now it's like 2018 and we're still talking, oh my God, Sony might allow you the ability to change your name real soon, y'all.
I wonder,
like,
what the reason behind that is,
it's got to do something with the infrastructure. There's got to be something rooted
in... Yeah, I think it was their infrastructure where they had the usernames, like the accounts were tied to the username. It wasn't tied to like some number that the username was
like. There wasn't
a
different unique ID.
Yeah, so now they have to go back and rework all that shit so that it's now tied to this universal number that your username is then tied to that account so you can change it or whatever.
It just seems weird that it would have taken this long to get here, because, I mean, and then again, I don't know as much about networking and infrastructure, so I will be the first to admit maybe I'm just ignorant to how hard this really is, but why wouldn't they have just at some point taken PlayStation Network down for a day to say, we're going to run this thing that's going to change all your usernames behind the scenes into a number. And then that number is now you, but you won't see it because now you have your name. And then now if you want to change your name, it's fine because we put in those numbers behind the scene. That's why we took PlayStation Network down for a day. Like,
yeah.
Am I crazy?
I mean, generally, yeah. Whenever there's a database and you know, someone's information is in there, it's tied that information is tied to an ID, and that could be a number, it could be a name. It's just something that's a unique identifier, and they probably chose the username to be that unique identifier.
Yeah,
which was a poor choice.
Now that I know, in Microsoft Access, you always have your key field.
Correct.
Yes. Yes. Yay. Correct. I know something. Yeah. Yay.
So they basically chose the username to be the unique identifier instead of it being some other number behind the scene, usually a key that's like numbers and letters.
Yeah.
And now, so if you change it, it almost you fucks up the account.
And then maybe this would have prevented the hack because we would have never, well, no, because I was like, maybe they would have only seen that random numbers of letters and numbers and not, you know, the usernames, but actually.
No, they would have pulled everything.
They would have still pulled the other, Anyway. All right. Anyway, let's move on. I want to talk about this because I think I don't know if this is going to be so much a game, but it's like VR. It's going to be Oculus and HTC Vive. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm super into it. And this is a new VR experience. I don't know if it's like a game, but knowing what it is, it's probably going to be like what is it? Anyway, it's Twin Peaks is what it is. So Twin Peaks, y'all know, was a show back in the 90s on ABC, but then they brought it back recently on Showtime, and I was a fan of the old series, and I loved the new one, too, even though there was a lot of, like, what, especially, like, here's the thing with Twin Peaks. The next to last episode, like, if they had ended it with that, it would have been, like, they kind of answered a lot of the questions, they kept some things open. I loved the way that next to last episode ended. But then in true David Lynch form, there's a full another episode after that that keeps going that the entire thing is just, what the fuck? And that's how it ends. But that's it. But you go to see a David Lynch anything, you need to be prepared to be walking out of that theater going, what the actual fuck was that? And that was what happened when I saw Lost Highway years ago in the theaters. I left out. What the fuck? Fuck.
Keske fuck.
Anyway, so maybe that's going to be the same thing when you do Twin Peaks VR, is that you're going to be putting that, going into that, and then like, what the fuck is this?
I have never watched Twin Peaks ever.
Really? You should.
Me either.
Here's the thing. In my personal opinion, the first season that was on ABC that's only like 7 episodes or something like that is like a must watch. It is really fucking good, and like, you see things there that they weren't doing in TV in the 90s that people are doing now. The second season of the show, like, if you like the first season and you want to get more of the story, you should watch the second season only because it kind of continues it, but it does get weaker throughout the second season because David Lynch didn't do all of it. The network put a lot of pressure to reveal Laura Palmer's killer before they really wanted to do it, and it kind of went downhill after they revealed the killer. But there are elements in that that then come back in Twin Peaks The Return. So if you're not going to watch the second season, at least read the cliff notes. Read the spoilers. Read through it. And then watch The Return. Because in my opinion, The Return, like, is like there. It's crazy because, like I said, the 90s version of Twin Peaks, there was nothing like it on TV then. The Return, there's nothing like it on TV now. Like, there was a particular episode of that show, and any of you that watch it will know that I was talking about, that was like 40 minutes of just pure, what the fuck am I watching? But like, you sit there at the end of it and going, I think I understood a third of that, but it was really fucking brilliant. That was art. I don't know what it was, but it was art. And any of you that have watched the revival series know exactly which episode I'm talking about. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm finally looking at chat over at live.vognetwork.com. As Joe and Hunter Matt said, I stopped trying to make sense of David Lynch after the 90s. If you try to, you're just going to hurt your brain. Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, so Twin Peaks VR, where this whole thing was supposed to be started. So Twin Peaks VR is going to put you in the Red Room, which is a very important place in Twin Peaks mythology. This could be considered a minor spoiler, but the Red Room is basically like, you could think of it as like a gateway to hell. That's kind of like what I sort of look at it as, is that the Red Room is like a gateway to hell. So anyway, Twin Peaks also gets into this whole mythology about that there could be doppelgangers in the world, that you may have somebody that looks exactly like you, but they are from this bad place type of thing.
Do they have a goatee?
Not necessarily, but I'll leave it at that. Anyway, so Twin Peaks VR is going to take you in this red room, and you'll be in there, they say in the game, you wind up in the red room, and fans of the series will follow in the footsteps of Dale Cooper to try to make their way back into the life that they left behind. So there will be places and dialogues from the original series and the sequel. It's going to be made for the HTC Vive and the Rift. It's only going to be available on Steam. We don't know when it's going to come out, but they are showing it next weekend at the Festival of Disruption in Los Angeles, which I believe is a David Lynch, or at least David Lynch has a large part of this festival thing going on, because Katya is actually going to be performing at it too.
Random.
Well, because Katya fucking loves Twin Peaks. Like her thing at DragCon New York City, where you took a picture of her. Her set was the red room from Twin Peaks, and she's actually made outfits that inspired by Twin Peaks. Like she's a stan.
She's very into it.
She's into it, and that's why I love her, because she loves that weird shit. So anyway, sadly, no word if it's going to be on PlayStation VR, because that would be a nice thing. So anyway. SHO100 Matt says, do you get pie though? No word if there will be a damn fine cup of coffee involved. No word on that yet. Or if there will be random dancing to songs playing on the jukebox. Who knows? Anyway, I think we should move on to other weird television shows and things that have spawned from them, right, Loki?
Yes, like The Walking Dead. Unfortunately, like The Walking Dead, we might also kind of compare The Walking Dead to Telltale, which is kind of Walking Dead of its own. Being that they've laid off 90% of their staff. But that's not all, because they're continuing to lay off people as well. So they had a skeleton crew that was left behind to kind of finish up some of the stuff on The Walking Dead, and also the interactive Minecraft series that's supposed to be on Netflix. Well, now, of course, with that, they're going to be letting some of those people go as well. Because now they have another team that's going to be working on the Walking Dead series. So they said, everyone involved is trying to make sure Clementine's story is told. I'm not concerned at the moment with telling that story in the comics. They said that, as odd as it may sound, 25 of us will continue foreseeable. I'll make further comment in the coming weeks. After today's events, it's not clear of how many of those 25 will remain, because they're not trying to necessarily keep them around, I guess, since they have another studio going to be working on it. And so, yeah, with that, there is going to be the series will be finished by another company. So they've got Skybound Games is going to be completing season 4 of The Walking Dead. And, of course, they made an announcement on Twitter saying, we're so happy to announce that we've reached a deal with Telltale Games that will allow Skybound to continue The Walking Dead final season. More details to come. I want to say that they were trying to... they're working with the original Telltale team to finish the story, they said, in the way that the fans deserve. Still disappointing to see that they're letting go all those people without severance, and now they have another team working on the game. That doesn't make any sense, but that's what they're doing. I don't know. I don't really follow Walking Dead games. I know that they're pretty good, but it kind of sucks because that the quality is going to be quite... I don't know if it's going to be up there with the other games.
Yeah, this is really unexplored territory, too, with the studio closing, and a lot of people have very strong feelings about how Telltale has treated those employees. But yet, at the same time, Telltale has created these obligations to customers out there that they are also not going to be able to follow up on. Now they've got this whole exchange, but there's this whole, duality now where it's like, okay, well, who is more important in this scenario? The obligation to the customer or the obligation to the employees? Because this is going to be great in, I guess, fulfilling that obligation to the customer, even though the quality may be who knows what. I suppose it depends on how many of those Telltale employees they get. But it's not going to really address the concern of how did Telltale treat the employees. Sure, some of them may be able to come on, but we know it's not going to be all of them. Some of those folks have probably already moved on to new jobs.
Right. You know? And like, I don't know if like, honestly, if it were me, you know, unless you're really, really passionate about like your job and that, stuff, like I can't imagine like, I got fired without severance. Yeah. And now you want me to work on that game again? Like,
that's very true. And those employees have every right. Like, even if they extend this offer and say, would you like to come finish the game? These employees have every right to say, go take a hike. Like, it just, I'm not interested because I bad memories with that.
Are they being asked to come back with pay or like just make it the game?
I would assume
with pay if it's a new company that's taking on the obligation to finish it. The company, this new company would hire them and do what they need to do.
Give it some exposure.
Yeah. Anyway. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, the Telltale news for sure sucks, but at the very least, the story gets to be completed. Not that I'm letting them off the hook. And I guess that's where my mind is at, is I'm like, okay, this is going to help with half the problem. The obligation to the customers will get filled, even though the quality is still TBD. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt and hope it's going to be a great thing.
Maybe is that going to give them more money to pay these severances, or are they just pocketing that?
That would be fabulous, and then maybe address some of the concern about what happened to the other half. But unfortunately, the realist in me is like, this new company has no need, I mean, it has no obligation to pay another company's severance. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and please do not misinterpret what I'm saying. Those people deserve to be treated better, but that's not this company that's trying to come in and fix some of the problems.
What I'm saying
it's
is
not their problem.
That like they're selling the rights to this company to like make the game because it's their series.
Yeah.
But maybe they're getting like a portion of that, you know, those profits is going back to the original Telltale company because it's their game, basically.
Well, and then I hope that money gets redistributed to the employees because the management doesn't and the board don't deserve a fucking dime.
But aren't they just finishing the stories for what people have already paid for?
Yes.
So that means there's no new money coming in. These people have already paid for this game. And what money they made already wasn't enough to pay severance.
Yes.
So there isn't any new money coming in.
Correct.
To finish whatever chapters are left.
Correct.
So,
yeah, no, it sucks.
So this new company that's doing it isn't going to get a dime, really, because the people have already paid for the content.
No,
unless
yeah.
new people come on later and buy the whole thing.
Right.
But for the most part, they're just fulfilling back orders.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I'm like, the new company, like, even though I have a hard time saying, yay, everything is better. Okay, I'm going to get this new company is doing a good thing. I think it's good intentioned, and they're trying to fix some of the problem. What they can do, fixing this problem with the severance and everything, I don't think this new company can do, at least not now, not unless a ton of people buy this game and they make buku bucks. But at that point, I mean, how long before these games come out and turn a profit? It's probably going to take some time, you know? And even then, these other folks hopefully will have moved on. But
most likely, to new jobs.
It's just... It's messy. A shitty situation, and it's Telltale Management's fault, and it's unfortunate. I hope the industry as a whole is kind of watching what's happening to this, and especially at how pissed off a lot of people are getting about it, and especially how it's moving more and more game makers to kind of go, you know, maybe we do need to unionize. And it could be very interesting if this is going to be the straw that start or the what's an analogy I can use here, the rock that starts the avalanche, so to speak, with that whole thing. So all right, let's move on. One more thing here before we get to the classic game of the week. I want to talk about a beloved game from the past. I don't know about you guys, but I always loved this game. Did you guys ever play a game called Descent on PC?
Yeah,
it was pretty cool because it kind of came out in that first person era when Doom and Wolfenstein really started taking off. But Descent was really the first game that had the full 360 degrees of movement, because like in Doom you move forward, back, side, but in Descent you were a ship and you flew around rooms and you really had 360 degrees of movement. So they made a few Descent games, but then the series kind of went kaput. Well, apparently, a new Descent game is coming out next year on PC and consoles. So it was announced by Little Orbit, who is an independent video game publisher, and Descendant Studios. They are making a reimagining of Descent. You will be going through twisting tunnels and caverns where, again, like the originals, up and down is, you know, it's you're going to move all over the place. You have to be able to think in 360 degrees. So anyway, they say This was actually a Kickstarter project from a long time ago, so it took about 3 years to get here. But the retail and digital release for PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4 is early 2019. The Switch is now included in this, so you can play Descent if you want to, you know, throw up on the go by spinning in all those different directions. You can do that. If you pre-order now, you'll get access to a PC beta starting later this year, a custom version of the Generation 3 Voila ship with a new paint job, a PC beta challenges, multi-pass upgrade for multiplayer, secret missions, DLC, you know, all the extra crap they tack onto games these days. So anyway, kind of neat that Descent is coming back, and always nice to see a Kickstarter come full circle and actually get its release and be fully realized, which sadly doesn't happen 100% of the time, but we're getting there. Would anyone want to check out the new Descent game? I'm kind of curious about it. I love the old one.
Sorry, I was texting with my wife. Apparently, they launched this Falcon 9 rocket nearby. You could actually see it outside.
Really?
Yeah.
Like at, out of Aerojet or something?
Like, yeah, pretty close. Like, she sent me pictures. She's like, what the hell is that?
Why are they launching rockets?
Oh, fuck if I know.
Okay.
Random.
Wow. Well, Delvin, I hope your trip to the U.S. doesn't end in tragedy. Why are they launching? No, I'm obviously kidding, but
it's neat that they bring back. I remember we were talking about that when they first announced that they were doing that. I mean, I never really liked the original Descent. I had like the demo for it. It came on like one of those PC Gamer discs or something like that back when they used to do that. I don't know if they still do those, but I don't know. I just never really got. It was hard enough for me to control like first person shooters, let alone a 360 first person shooter. But
I never played the original. I never heard of the game. So,
oh.
I mean, if there's a demo, I'll check it out. But other than that, probably not. Because is it kind of like a Star Fox type?
Flying? I wouldn't really call it Star Fox. Like, imagine if Star Fox was Doom.
Okay.
Kind of a little more like that. It's a little more realistic, I suppose, than talking animals.
Well, no, I just mean in terms of, like, it's a flying shooting game.
Yeah, but you move, like you might want to go to a room that's above you, so you actually fly up. Whereas, okay. Like, Star Fox was still kind of, like, on rails a bit.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, this gives you the full 360 degrees of motion.
Okay.
So, I mean, it'll probably be, like, a very kind of competent space shooter game. Multiplayer was a lot of fun, though. I will say that. Because that was also the day when, you know, you modems and BBSs, you'd hook up through that. And you could play, like, four-player Doom Online or Duke Nukem, where you could play Descent. And that was a lot of fun, too, because you could hide above somebody in a game like Descent. So it might be neat. We'll see. Anyway, let's move on to the classic game of the week. You know, one of these weeks we'll have to do Descent as the classic game of the week, but I don't think that is what Dark Soccer has in store for us this week. Let's go ask Jamie Summers what the classic game of the week this week will be. So we take a step back in time, figuratively and literally, in the classic game of the week where Dark Soccer is here.
Hi.
It's magic. You just appeared. Delvin disappeared and you appeared.
Oh my god, where did Delvin go?
Well, through the magic of space and time, he's actually not here yet.
Right, but he gets to see me as a nun.
But yet he's there. I know, it's going to be a very exciting weekend. Anyway, let's continue this exciting weekend by talking about, actually, it's going to be way more exciting for us because we're going to Reno. That's where the nuns go. I saw that Whoopi Goldberg movie.
No.
Sister Act, Reno, and Gomorrah.
There's nuns in Reno, though, our nuns.
Nonsense. All right, anyway.
Girl.
It's the classic game of the week. Dark Soccer is going to take a trip back and walk into the vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you should get to church or play this game.
Or cry like the poor Opa Opa.
Or I will slap you with a ruler like nuns do. All right, it's the classic game of the week. Dark Soccer, what did you pick for us? Oh, actually, did you know, you want a fun fact before we get into tonight's classic game of the week?
Sure.
Fun fact for the listeners. So we were having dinner earlier this evening, as people do sometimes. Because Dark Soccer and I went on a date, except Alan was there too, so it was a triad date. But anyway, we were eating, and we were talking about this segment, the classic game of the week, and we were wondering, how long is it until the classic game of the week can be the classic game of the week? Like, is this segment... So thanks to the wonderful people that maintain the wiki.
Thank you.
I went back to the wiki, and I found out this week, October 7th, 2007 was the first classic game of the week. So it's actually 11 years old this week.
So I'm doing the classic game of the week as the classic game of the week. I'm kidding, I'm not.
Well, you could, no, you kind of are, because do you know what the very first classic game of the week ever was that we did?
I believe it was Fantasy Zone.
It was Fantasy Zone. So tonight, for our 11th anniversary spectacular,
we're doing the sequel.
That's Fantasy Zone 1-1.
Yes. We're doing Fantasy Zone 2, The Tears of Opa Opa.
Oh, it's not Electric Boogaloo?
No. Right. Or as it was called, Opa Opa no Namida, which basically means Opa Opa's Tears. And I'm actually kind of doing two in one because I wanted to do the System 16 remake, but to do that, I have to talk about the Sega Master System version, which this is one of the few times where the game has come out at home and then years later they remade it for the arcade.
I can't think of a lot of situations where that's happened. I mean, maybe things like Street Fighter V? Question mark.
Maybe.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, in modern times, that really doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, this was a Sega Master System game. It came out in 1987. Of course, it was a Sega game. It was ported to the arcade, Famicom, and MSX. And then there was a remake for System 16 hardware on the PlayStation 2 compilation in 2008. It had Virtual Console releases, but we are going to go a little bit more into what this game is like. So Fantasy Zone 2 does play like the first Fantasy Zone, where it's Defender style. You have a continuously scrolling screen, you can go back and forth, and shoot down little bases, and it does qualify as a shoot-em-up. I'm not really fond of that term, but anyway. So, at any rate, now this game has such a fucking convoluted storyline. Oh my god, Rob, it has like three endings.
People play this game for the story?
One of the endings, spoiler.
I play it because it's a cute shooter. Oh my god, you're going to spoil like a 30-year-old game?
Is that Opa Opa turns evil.
What?
And kills the Space Harrier.
What?
Yeah, it's Opa Opa loses to his evil self. Evil self takes over. And the Space Harrier, which, you know, it's set in the same universe, right? The Space Harrier tries to go to knock his ass out, and Opa Opa kills him.
Funny enough, that was also the end. I'm sorry to spoil this, guys, but that's also the ending to A Star Is Born, is that Gaga turns evil and turns into the evil leader of the planet and makes everybody bow down and say, yes, Gaga, yes. That's basically what it is. And then she interrupts my Fantasy Zone music with ads.
And then Changela comes out of the box.
Yes.
Hallelujah!
Anyway.
So basically the story of this is in the year 1432, space year 1432, 10 years after, time machine, 10 years after Fantasy Zone, Opa Opa has to go in and save the Fantasy Zone again. So the mastermind of this is an evil version of himself. And then after winning, God, Smooshy, what? Can they hear him?
I don't know. I don't think he picks up on the mic. He's okay. Master Smush is throwing a fit, but he's just
screaming.
Yeah.
Anyway, Opa Opa's father comes out to comfort him, and Opa Opa cries, and so the evil Opa Opa vanishes.
Oh, Mr. Smush is just playing along.
Yeah, he's singing along. But you get to see Opa Opa's daddy, which is a big, ginormous Opa Opa.
All right, well, Mr. Smush daddy is going to go over there and tell him to shut the fuck up. I'll be back.
So anyway, as I said, you play kind of Defender style where you scroll back and forth indefinitely, and you can travel freely. You've got different bases that you have to knock down, and you pick up coins, and you can go into secret shops to buy, like, stuff. But now what's new in this one is that you get different warps that are hidden behind certain bases that let you travel different zones. So you have three different zones, and when all of the bases have been cleared in all three of the zones of the level, then you can go through a warp to get to the boss. Now, the boss fights are just simply, like, the way that they were in Fantasy Zone, where you have to kind of do sort of bullet hellish, you know, shooting at big bossy things. And then they are super huge, and they change color, and then your last stage is a boss rush, which is kind of a pain in the ass. So you get different types of attacks. You have a fire, and you have a bomb. The bomb kind of drops, like in an arc, but it is more powerful and has a shorter range. You get the shops, like I said. You can get different weapons, bombs, speeds, extra lives. You get the large wing and the jet engine. You know, the large wing is probably one of my favorite ones. The ones that upgrade Opa Opa's speed are permanent as long as you do not die. But weapon upgrades are time limited, and the bombs have a limited number. So here's where we get to the fun part: all the ports. So, Fantasy Zone 2 Arcade, the first one is based on System E, and so it is almost identical to Master System version. It does have the radar that shows if the bases are destroyed or not, and of course, it has a timer because it's pretty much kind of like those Play Choice games, I guess, that Nintendo did. the Famicom version that came out actually has a kind of different name. It's called the Teardrop of Opa Opa. So now we have the big one, the System 16 remake, which really is the one that I wanted to talk about. So now keep in mind, the first one came out in, when did I say? 1987, right? So in 2008, so 10 years ago, they re-released the game. I did it in the System 16, which is basically the same original hardware. In fact, it was developed by M2, and it's not really, they didn't want to modernize the older one. They wanted to do a hypothetical interpretation of what the game would have been like had it been developed for System 16 arcade hardware by the original staff.
That's kind of neat, though.
It is. So instead of doing the using the Sega's console R&D, the Master System and System E boards, they used System 16 architecture. And it was called a What If remake. And basically, it adhered strictly to the limitations from the time that Fantasy Zone 2 was originally released, but with the arcade hardware at that point. So M2 developed it on a real System 16 hardware, except that it had expanded memory to 256 kilobytes. So it was called, they dubbed it System 16C. Well, I mean, that was pretty hot shit for 1986.
No, yeah, for that time, it is. But now it's just funny, like 256 kilobytes. It's like, I have Word documents that are far bigger than that, you know? It's crazy.
On top of that, it actually can be played via emulation. And on top of that, it shows a 1987 Sega copyright and makes no mention of M2. So it really, and I've played the System 16 arcade remake. I played it at California Extreme. I played the shit out of it at California Extreme because I fucking love some Fantasy Zone. And when I first looked at it, if I hadn't seen it say the Tears of Opa Opa, I would have thought I was about to play the real Fantasy Zone. And I was like, oh, wait, shit, this is that one. So it's been nicknamed by fans Fantasy Zone 2DX.
Nice.
Yeah. So it follows the original one kind of loosely. It has the enemies, music, locations, and gameplay from Master System game. But it has new content and elements that went with the original Fantasy Zone. It's actually kind of why I like this one better, because it's more like the original Fantasy Zone. So level structure is the same. So instead of distinct zones that you have to beat, you actually have portals that take you into parallel dimensions. You have the bright side and the dark side. And they're comparable to the levels of the first Fantasy Zone. So you can destroy them in each dimension. Jesus. Okay. So bases that are destroyed in one dimension will be destroyed in the other. So you can clear it entirely on one level or the other. But the dark side is more difficult, but you get greater rewards and points and money. The bosses are the same on either side, but they have a more difficult attack patterns on the dark side. It also has three endings based on which, on both whether the dark side levels were cleared and whether certain specific items were purchased. So that's where you get like the, you know, daddy comes and helps Opa Opa, and then evil Opa Opa takes over, and there's like one more. The music was done by Manabu Namiki, that uses some of the songs from the original Fantasy Zone 2 soundtrack, but rearranged to fit more like Kawaguchi Hiroshi's first Fantasy Zone style. So, and there's a few original tracks that were made for it. And it basically, it's based off of some of the same things. Bosses, there are some new ones for here. It's just sort of like, again, a loose interpretation. It's kind of like a remake. So it has been bootlegged and re-released to the arcades as FZ2006-2 by a Taiwanese manufacturer called ISG. As a 2006 copyright date. But it's directly derived from the PlayStation 2 release because it also has the ROM data from the PS2 version. Sega did actually produce real arcade units running the System 16 hardware as part of the promotion. So there's a Nintendo 3DS port of this version, 16-bit version, that came out in Japan in 2014 and internationally in 2015, and it's called 3D Fantasy Zone 2W. You also have another game mode in this one called Loop Land, where it's an endless survival mode starring Opa Opa's brother, Opa Opa.
Opa, opa, and oopa, oopa.
Opa, opa, and oopa.
Oompa loompa.
Oopa, oopa. I just always laugh at opa, opa because I don't know if his name is supposed to be a pun on boobs. Opai. Or if it's like, opa, you know, the Greek cheer.
I think it's also a Korean word for, like, brother. Because I used to have a friend in high school that called me her opa.
Okay.
Yeah. Random question.
Yeah. So, there you go. It is one of the best games ever made, Fantasy Zone 2. And as much as I... Now, I have a lot of fucking love for this game. And if someone wants to find me, the Sega Ages Fantasy Zone box will work something out.
All right. She'll go opa opa for it.
Also, I'm mad because Dan guessed one of the games I got him.
Don't.
And I can't lie.
Aww.
He guessed that I got him the treasure box.
So when is his birthday?
It's November 29th.
Oh, gosh. So are you making him wait?
I'm making him wait.
Good.
That bitch is waiting.
That's what he gets. All right.
Guess what he got, though, for us?
What?
On the 27th, he got us tickets to see the 40th anniversary theater showing of Superman.
Oh.
That's kind of cool.
That's very cool. All right, well, there it is, your classic game of the week. Fantasy Zone 2, The Tears of Opa Opa.
Poor Opa Opa. Don't cry.
We're running long, so we got to wrap up. So any last words for the week? Dark Sakura.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. I'm kidding. I don't like big butts. Unless they're like rump roasts. I'm done.
And we're back in the present, where sadly Dark Soccer did not end up coming out as a nun. Delvin didn't get to see that because unfortunately, I think she got a little sick before we went out last night. So Delvin and I was taking Delvin around. I'm trying to think of how to give Delvin the Sacramento experience because we don't exactly have like a lot. Like, it's not like Disneyland is in this part of California.
It's not.
No. It's Disneyland's like 6 hours from here. It's a long way away. It's pretty far. So I was like, well, we'll go to Old Town. That'll be fun. We'll go to the Capitol. That's a thing. So I actually taught Delvin a little bit about American government today,
which is very confusing.
It is, especially if you've watched the news this past week. You're especially looking at it going, how did any of this happen? It's so confusing.
U.S. politics is just very confusing
compared
to Canadian politics, which I feel is a little bit more simplistic in its design.
But ask any of us to explain like Canadian politics and we couldn't do it. Like I barely could. I would bet there'd be so many Americans that would be like, Justin Trudeau is like the president of Canada, right?
It's probably,
like,
yeah.
It's like, well, no.
Prime minister, but good, close.
Close. It's kind of like the as far as like delegations and, you know, it's kind of the equivalent, but it's, not the same. Anyway.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogueNetwork.com, use the passphrase family.
Speaking of like adventures and being here in Sacramento, so you've listened to OLR sometimes and now you're here. What should people at home know about what OLR is really like in person?
It's just what it sounds like.
That's good. I guess that's good. That means we're authentic.
Yes.
That's good. All right. It's an authentic product. I appreciate that.
It's an authentic experience.
Good. All
right. It's very fun.
Yes. And you're even getting to sit in Jamie's chair. So it's kind of...
I feel very special.
You do. Because it's the nicest chair in the room, isn't it?
That's why I picked it.
Nothing but the finest for our out-of-town guests. All right. Looking at chat over at live.vognetwork.com. SSG100 Matt says, I thought the Sacramento experience was watching Lady Bird. You know, it's... as somebody who's lived here his entire life, like, I did watch that movie and I was kind of like, yeah, I mean, obviously I nitpicked some of the little things, but I was like, yeah, like, honestly, they got it. They really got it. And like the whole story of her really spoke to me because I too applied to go to college back east. It's just, I didn't get in.
Oh,
no, it's, my life turned out okay. It's all good. I also learned in college that college wasn't for me. And that's what happens sometimes. College isn't for everybody, so.
Sometimes I just don't think people should go college right after high school.
I think that is, well, that's a big reason why community college is a thing. Because, and some people have joked and called community college 13th grade. But actually, I think it really is like a good transition type of thing. So I think community college is really underrated in many ways. But anyway, it is not that kind of show. Although I do associate, you know what I associate community college with? The Altered Beast machine that was at the cafeteria at the community college I went to and took like one or two classes at during the summer. They had an altered beast machine. It was awesome. There you go.
I've never played that either.
What? What?
I guess I live a primitive life up
apparently,
in Canada.
Apparently. My God. You really do all live in igloos with no power, don't you?
Shh.
All right.
Secret.
All right. Let's move on. Let's get into some rapid fire news. Loki.
So there's more rumors regarding Microsoft releasing a streaming platform as a new console possibly next year. They're saying that the rumors are that this console-quality game streaming platform for phones and other devices will be released sometime as early as quarter two of next year. And they're saying that there's possibly going to be an announcement at EXO 2018 in November. So I guess we'll have to wait and see if that actually ends up being a thing.
Hmm.
But being that they don't really have a streaming platform,
I feel like it's not a void they really need to fill because they have Game Pass, which is pretty rad. But okay, I mean, if they,
if you could do Game Pass on devices that if you don't have an Xbox, like, you know,
yeah, I think that's the direction Microsoft. And we've heard this rumor before, right? That like the next Xboxes is there's going to be one like super Xbox, but then there's going to be like a baby Xbox that just basically does the online.
Yeah,
yeah.
So one of the things that I think the direction Microsoft is going, and probably all consoles will be going in the future, is no longer having us like a new generation and then creating a segmented user base. So I think that they're planning to have whatever next console Microsoft comes out with be, you know, more powerful and whatever the case may be. But those games that come out for it will work on your original Xbox, but will scale down in the same way that you know, you buy a PC game, and even if you are playing it on your laptop with no video card, it will still work. Or just like you have Pokemon Go on your iPhone, and it will work on your iPhone 5, 6, 7, 8. It doesn't matter. It just scales correctly. So this streaming method might be one of the ways in which they allow those more powerful games to run on the older systems. You just stream it.
Well, you know, a story that didn't make our show roll tonight has to do with the fact that the Switch is like Capcom's looking at doing something like Resident Evil 7 with maybe more of their games, because you may or may not know, but in Japan, there's more of these streaming games on the Switch, and that's how they've put Resident Evil 7 on it. And Assassin's Creed Odyssey came out on the Switch in Japan.
And Phantasy Star Online 2.
Oh, that's right.
Is a streaming stream game.
God, that pisses me off.
Let's not open that can of worms. I want to play that game so bad.
I know.
And they just refuse to release it in the U.S.
Sega, what's your fucking problem? Like, seriously.
I have so much fond memories of that game, but I just want to play the second one so bad.
Same. Anyway, sorry, Logie.
So it just, I think it's a neat idea on paper, but like, you know, are the North American internet infrastructure is going to be able to handle something like this? I'm kind of concerned that no, they can't.
But remember, we live in Sacramento, and one of the things that we're getting here that very few cities in America are getting, because we're in a test program, they just rolled out 5G here. Now, sadly, not where OLR Studios is located, because this is in the downtown part, and I'm not going to give out my address on air, but I don't live downtown. So the downtown area is really where a lot of this is going in, because they put all the boxes on phone poles. So, I mean, 5G is going to give you wirelessly like what cable internet gives you. So here's the thing. In 5 years from now, Loki, the internet like that is only going to get better, and 5G is going to roll out more and more places. Will places like rural Alaska have that type of internet? Probably not.
Well,
but you know what? I mean, they were probably still on dial-up up to a few years ago, but it's progressed. It's progressed.
It's not so much the speeds. I mean, speeds, definitely we need improvements there, but it's also bandwidth caps for no fucking reason.
But I kind of think that argument is going to have to give a little bit as more and more people start getting too close to that cap. But cable is really probably assessing the situation right now. Like, a company like Comcast is definitely going, like, the days of cable as a television delivery service are limited. Like, that is dying. You know, again, maybe in rural parts where there isn't as fast of internet and so forth, maybe there's still a need there. But, you know, again, a lot of those people have had satellite for the longest time.
Yeah.
But, you know, more and more people are ditching cable channels to watch their shows on Netflix. Or this is why, you know, as much as people hate on CBS All Access, it exists because CBS saw this coming a long time ago. So they were trying to future-proof against, you know what? People aren't going to be getting CBS on cable. They're not going to be getting it over the air. So we need to, you know, adopt this Netflix-style thing, like, fast, because that is where it's going.
So one of the things I have noticed recently in terms of infrastructure and internet and TV and all that sort of thing, in Canada, the providers now, all the internet plans don't have, most of them don't have caps anymore. They're all just unlimited. They just limit the speed at which you get the internet now.
Oh, hooray. So, another reason why Canada is better than the United States, like, as if everything. Why can't we just live in Canada? I mean, seriously.
You can if you want to. It's just it's a bit of a process.
Actually, do you know how hard it is for an American to become a Canadian? Because, you know, there's a lot of people this week that are like, I'm going to move to Canada because fuck this place. And you know what? I completely understand that as a reaction. But when you sit down and you really start to plot it out, you're like, oh, shit, that's really hard to do.
It's complicated.
And it's also one of those things, and I don't want to get political, but it's also one of these where I also kind of feel like, no, this is my fucking country too, and we are going to fucking fix this problem. So
right.
that's also my kind of perspective, but I will get on that high horse at a later time. So anyway.
But anyway, so the most of the plans are trending towards no caps. So that's one issue for this streaming service gone mm-hmm. out the window. The major issue will be the cap, or so not the cap, the bandwidth or rate at which you can download it and upload. Because if you don't have good up download, then you're screwed for the streaming service. But I think it's more something that is going to be as a premium service. So it's not meant to be for, you know, Tom in Alaska,
right,
who's, you know, he needs to actually purchase the game in order to play it. He can't stream it.
Which could easily be said too for people north of you in Canada, because there's a lot of lot of place in Canada that probably don't have these fast internets. Yeah,
very, very true.
Yeah.
And one of the things, like you mentioned with the TV, so one of the major television providers, CTV in Canada, did their promos in all the subway stations for, you know, the fall lineup and stuff. Normally they'll say, oh, this show is airing, you know, Thursdays at 9. One of the key things I noticed that they did in their advertising is they said it is now streaming at such and such a time.
Yeah.
They emphasize that it's not something that's live. It's available for streaming at this time and this date.
Yeah.
So, again, trending in the direction of you just now are just going to get everything on the internet.
Yeah. No, it's interesting stuff. It's going to be really interesting to see where we are in the future. I mean, to put it in perspective, one other little tidbit that I think you guys, some of you are going to find funny. When OLR first started in 2002, this was before VOG Network was a thing. This was before All Games Radio, where we were at previously, was a thing. When OLR was a station where this show was the kind of centerpiece of the station, that's what it was originally intended. One of the pitches of our station, because we were kind of, and I'm using my quotey fingers, competing with DDR Freak Radio, but we really weren't. Like, we were two peas in a pod, right? But our thing was, whereas DDR Freak Radio was all high speed, we were dial-up friendly radio when we started. So something to think about. When this show started, there was still enough need out there for there to be dial-up friendly streams that you could listen to. And there's a reason why I'm called Potato, because this show sounded like a potato if you go back to episode one, because it's saved in that dial-up quality. But that's the reality, is that, you know, the internet has progressed that much even since then.
And it will continue to progress even faster, even in the next 5 years.
As far as this show is concerned, even in the next 3 months, because whereas we upgraded from 24 kbps the dial-up standard or whatever it was to 96, which we're using on VOG, now we're going to be going to Twitch.
You're right.
As more and more people now can just watch video on their phones. This is not something we could have considered doing a few years ago, even. You know
right.
what I mean?
So, again, with this streaming service, it's kind of just, I guess, them setting the groundwork and infrastructure for something that will be more readily available in 5 years.
Yeah. Anyway, rapid fire news, and we just spent probably the longest on that topic, but that's all right.
Sorry.
No, it was good
talk.
We'll
make it quick then. So.
I love how you say sorry.
So, PUBG over the last 14 months has banned 13 million users.
Well,
that's one way to get your subscription numbers up.
Well, most of the people that were kicked off the service were using cheat tools. And then apparently that's a common problem. Well, I would assume so if you've kicked off 13 million people. They've, you know, of course, been patching the game to fight against these tools. But then there's also, you know, aimbots and whatnot. But these were the numbers that were coming out from Bluehole and the Korean PUBG Cafe board. That's an interesting statistic.
Yeah. Maybe the rampant cheating is one of the reasons why PUBG has fallen in the rankings. I don't know. But I don't play the game or Fortnite enough to really get into that Stan War. So, but it's interesting they've had to ban that many accounts. And is that really going to stop them? As Jason said in the intro, one goes down, two more come up, you know?
Well, I think one of the things that killed the PUBG user base was the amount of people that they were banning for stream sniping, quote unquote, but weren't actually stream sniping.
Oh.
Remember that whole thing?
Yeah,
fiasco?
I do.
That really killed that community.
Yeah, that was...
And that was right when Fortnite came out.
Yeah.
So people were getting pissed off from one and jumping right to the other.
Well, but then the other big thing was that Fortnite's Battle Royale was free and PUBG cost money. And I think, honestly, it's really not much more difficult than that. I think for a lot...
Well,
but you're right. That other situation certainly didn't help.
And the quality of the game, it looks like, too. Like, PUBG... It's not really as flat. It's kind of like comparing, I guess, like, you know, it's not Overwatch, where Overwatch, you know, has this like really flashy art style and everything that,
yeah,
you know, Fortnite has, whereas PUBG's kind of meh.
It serves its purpose. It's trying to go a little more for the realistic angle.
Yeah,
to mix success. Yeah, no, I get it. All right. Anyhow, let's move on to some other rapid fire news, including a game that's several years old at this point, which is interesting because it's a remake of a game that's many years old. But it's one of my favorite classics, the game Shadowgate from the Nintendo Entertainment System. Did you ever play Shadowgate, Delvin?
Never heard of it.
And the music is really good. It was like a PC game they kind of put out on the NES. Where like you use the controller as a mouse basically and kind of, yeah, it's kind of neat. Anyway, they remade it a few years ago and I actually was a Kickstarter backer. It's one of the very few Kickstarters I ever did, but I was like, somebody wants to make a new Shadowgate game. Fuck yes. Take my money. Because this was before we really started learning about all the issues with Kickstarter. And you know what? To be fair, these guys, they did the game. They delivered on what they promised. It's out there. So, and they're going to keep it going because this new Shadowgate version is going to be coming to the Nintendo Switch this autumn. So they're putting out the new Shadowgate on the Switch. It is based on the newer PC version that came out a couple years ago, but they're going to enhance it with a new user interface and a wheel-based command system, some other new features and elements as well. So that is pretty cool. Also, speaking of the Nintendo stuff, remember the Switch Online Classic Nintendo Library? We knew we were going to be getting more games in October, but we didn't quite know when. Well, now we know. Those new games will be arriving on October 10th. So Super Dodgeball, NES Open Tournament Golf, and Solomon's Key will be arriving on October 10th. And if I were to rank those, I would say probably Super Dodgeball is going to be the best, especially with the online play. That was a really... It's kind of the art style of River City Ransom, and it has a very particular name in Japan, and somebody in chat will beat me to it. But
you needed a multi-tap to play that because it's four players, wasn't it?
I don't think so. You could play two-player. It might have supported the four-player thing, but it was two-player. But it was like, imagine the River City Ransom guys are playing dodgeball, and it was really well done. There was the definitive version is on the Neo Geo, honestly, but the NES version is not bad.
They were playing, you know, thinking way back, they were playing... this on stage when they were doing the Nintendo World Championships in the Oakland Coliseum. They were playing the four player version of Dodgeball.
Hmm.
I remember when I was trying to do the preliminary trial thing where you had to play the three games, but.
And then I would rank number two as Solomon's Key. That was some people would probably put that in first place, but I think that was a pretty competent puzzler game that was on the NES. And number three, of course, the golf game, trash. Sorry, just my opinion. It is. Yeah,
don't
sorry.
Do you have Nintendo Golf on there already?
The actual NES Golf? No, it is not there.
Oh, okay.
So this is what you're getting instead.
On the NES Classic service, but there wasn't that golf thing that they did. Someone for sack.
Oh, it was that was the hidden game.
The hidden game was golf.
That was the Iwata thing that somebody found in there. Was the original 8-bit NES golf. That's what you're thinking about. That actually, for some reason, was not put on the Nintendo Classic service, and they're doing this instead. So I don't know. Hmm. This is a golf game from much later in the NES's life.
Oh, it's not that golf game.
No, it is not. It's a Mario golf game. It's basically that, but insert Mario, which. To think about it, if I seem to remember, the original guy kind of looked like Mario, but it wasn't officially him. But there's a very different look to this game. So anyway, Dark Tetsuya said, I assume that we won't get original NES golf. I don't know. They may still do that at some point. And Dark Tetsuya says, I do remember having Solomon's Key back in the day. Actually, I owned it too, believe it or not.
So they're not going to do the original golf because it's going to take so much programming stuff for them to get to work. They can't just like dump in a ROM or anything like that.
We're not doing this again.
Okay. I'm just checking because it seems like it's an awful lot of work for Nintendo.
Today, Satan. Delvin is here and we are going to have a good time, damn it. All right. Let's move on and talk about what's coming out in stores this week. Loki, what will we be playing a little sooner than NES Golf on the Switch?
Well, you can play Disgaea 1 Complete on the Switch and PlayStation 4. Goosebumps the Game on the Nintendo Switch. Mark of the Ninja Remastered on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. WWE 2K19 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Luigi's Mansion for the 3DS. And then The World Ends With You Final Remix. Is it really the final remix? Is it really the final one?
The final for now.
Final for now. Nintendo Switch. It's final like as in the Final Fantasy for the Nintendo Switch. And that is what we're getting.
All right, let's travel to Japan. And over in Japan, they're going to be getting a game called Varnir of the Dragon Star, Exodus of the Dragon. That comes out in a regular and limited edition. Middle-Earth Shadow of War gets a price reduction in Japan this week as it moves into the definitive edition. Tactical Assault Commander comes out as well with a variety of different little like controllers and things like that. And believe it or not, Call of Duty Black Ops 4, you know, they're going pretty hard in Japan with that as well. So they get a release the same day we do, as well as Europe. So that's all on the same day. So Japan won't miss out on that. But they're actually also getting a blue camouflage DualShock controller as well. And then there are new PlayStation 4 Pros in Glacier White and Jet Black. I don't think these are Call of Duty themed. I think they just happen to be the same day. But there's Glacier White and Jet Black Pros with a 1 terabyte hard drive also coming out that day. And there is also a brand new PlayStation VR bundle in Japan. So kind of setting the stage for end of the year releases, not really holiday releases in Japan because Christmas isn't quite the same thing that it is here, but I would say end of the year kind of positioning. So that is Japan. Dark Soccer is not here for the UK, but maybe you can help out, Logie.
Sure. So this week we're getting Space Hulk Tactics on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, WWE 2K19 on PC, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Goosebumps the Game on the Switch. They're getting a Bridge Constructor compilation. That's both the Bridge Constructor Portal and the original Bridge Constructor. That's on PlayStation 4. A game called My Riding Stables, Life with Horses on PlayStation 4 and the Switch. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. And last but not least, The World Ends With You Final Remix on the Switch.
Okie dokie. Well, before we get back into some news, we're going to take some time out to read some of your emails. Every week, you guys email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we read some of those emails live here on the air. Actually, we're pretty good about reading them all, unless they're just way, way, way too long or off topic or something like that, but we read them all. You get to be here for a mailbag segment, Delman. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
And we actually have some emails tonight. You ready for it? All right, I should have made you read them. That would have been fun. All right, anyway, the first email tonight is from DJ Rama S. I've never heard of this guy. He must be a new listener. Long-time listener, first-time caller. How about that? All right, obviously I'm teasing. We love Rama. So the email goes like this. Evening, everyone. I hope all is good. 2 weeks ago, I tried to call into the show, but I just missed the Skype line as I just got off the train. So if you bear with me, I have a few things to say. Number one, Telltale Games. First of all, I feel really bad about the employees losing their jobs like that. It sucks that this seems to be the norm in the industry when it shouldn't be. What bothers me is how upper management surprised everyone about it. How do you go from hiring people to firing people in a week? I really think that upper management has been finagling the books, but hey, what do I know? I have this really weird feeling. Give it about like 6 months, and there's going to be a lot of those employees who are going to squawk. And we're going to find, like, there's going to be books written about the fucking ups and fucking downs of Telltale Games. Because, seriously, open Twitter. And already, like, there's just a lot. I got something to say. And you know what? And I'm not making fun of it. Like, I bet there's a lot of things that have built up that people have wanted to say. So I'm very, let it out. Let it out, y'all.
Someone needs to make a docuseries about the gaming industry in general of, like, past employees. And one of them that I want to hear from, of course, is Kojima.
You know, I would love to see some type of documentary that's very real about the game. I'm sure there's been some, you know, if you can think of it, it's been done, I'm sure. So I'm sure there's documentaries on YouTube and things like that about the gaming industry. But I would like somebody who's like really a renowned like documentary filmmaker. And I'm not thinking about like Michael Moore because he's a bit partisan, but he's very well known for his documentaries. But I'm thinking maybe a little more like how, do you remember when you saw Super Size Me? I don't know if you ever saw that movie.
Yeah.
What was that guy's name? Spurlock? Made that movie, and it really opened people's eyes to, like, wow, this is why I'm fat. Like, and just how McDonald's was really pushing a lot of this stuff, and the industry in general, you know, not to pick on McDonald's, but maybe a little bit. And it even made McDonald's change some of their policies that they no longer would ask, you know, you want to supersize it. And I think eventually they got rid of that and that whole thing. And you've even commented on this before about how, like, a medium drink here is like a large.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? So anyway, the reason why I say that is that I would like a documentary like that, but about what really happens in the gaming industry.
And how a game is really made.
Yes.
From start to finish.
Yes. And I want it to be something that I could be comfortable saying. I 100% support anybody starting a gaming podcast. I want voices to be out there. I want everybody to be heard. But you need to watch this documentary first before you just start blindly saying this game sucks, these people suck, all this sucks. Like, I want a documentary that I'm going to feel comfortable saying, I support you doing this, but first, you need to put your shoes in, or you need to put yourself in the shoes of somebody who's really in this. You know what I mean? So anyway.
Some perspective to the gaming.
Yeah, for real. Anyway, Act Deft in chat says, granted, Super Size Me was kind of a hoax. Okay, look, I realize there's always going to be controversy with documentaries. There's always going to be, is it lean one way or the other? I think you all see the real point I'm getting at. I'm not saying make a copy of that, but I'm just saying that movie, love it or hate it, had a social impact. And I want to see something that powerful about how we're treating people that work in the game industry. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Anyway, number two, the PlayStation Classic in Rama's email. I, too, had wondered why the PlayStation Classic isn't coming with DualShock controllers. They're going with the generation of games that didn't need them. From the reactions I saw, it seems that a lot of people forgot that the PlayStation originally had standard controllers. I also understand why people were taken aback at the price tag of $99. 20 games, each disc about 650 megabytes. All of the games are going to need at least 13 gigs of space at minimum, at least 32 gigs tops. Even at that price, I don't see myself investing in one. PlayStation emulation seems to be pretty well, so I should be able to play them on my laptop or Surface 3 with minimal issues. Also, if you notice, the controller ports aren't even USB. To be quite honest, I feel that Atari has the right idea with their retro console. USB, you can make your own games, add your own extra storage. To be quite honest, I'm seriously considering to build my own mini retro box. We'll see. So there you go. Lastly, oh, I'm sorry. No, there's a few more here. Skype versus Discord. Because I've said on the show, openly, I'm considering switching to Discord. Honestly, stay with Skype. A few episodes back, we tried to do our show on Discord because of Skype 7 being discontinued, and Skype 8 was buggy as fuck. Honestly, it did not work. There were too many audio dropout and lagging, so we switched back to Skype 8, and we haven't had any issues since. But what's interesting is that my other podcast I do over Discord is fine. I think because we're also streaming audio out, that could be the issue, and I look forward to hearing updates on the new studio streaming PC. Also, I've used my Surface 3 to record my podcast at conventions, so it's a great little device. I have considered the Surface as an option.
It's a good choice.
I've considered it. Is that what you use? No.
No.
You have a different thing. I just need to make sure it can do Twitch and everything.
I have a Surface 3 Pro.
I might want to bring it over. I might want to check it out a little, if you don't mind me poking at it a little bit.
You can get them cheap. Mine was only like 400 used, and it came with everything.
Anyway, I'll get in that later. Anyway, for what you want to do, I highly recommend a Surface Pro 5 or 6. We can talk offline for more details on that.
Might as well just get a laptop for that price.
Yeah, yeah. And then lastly, you know Rama's got something to say about Bowsette. I know you're tired of the meme, and I know this has crossed deep into your neck of the woods. For what it's worth, it's gone deep into the anime and cosplay fandom. I'm seeing some great cosplays from this, with cosplayers doing many variants, and I love it. I know I busted your chops about it, but it's all fun and games. Just let us, the anime fans, enjoy this. Here's the thing. I'm not going to tell anyone what they can or can't do for fun, as long as they're not hurting anybody. I might argue that this is hurting my eyes. But jokes aside, y'all can have your fun, but I am going to sit there in my rocking chair, and the minute someone in a Bowsette cosplay comes up, I'm going to say, get the hell off my lawn. Give me that, all right? Love and hearts and XOs, I mean it. All right, anyway, back to the email. That's all that's been on my mind. Enjoying the show, thankful for the podcast, keep it fabulous. From the East Coast, the York of New Rama. There you go. Thank you for the email. It was a great email. All right. Going to another email from YYR, who says, hello, LR. Don't worry. I don't have a laundry list of complaints this week, but I did have a question for Loki. This is for you, sir.
I'm listening.
Week after week, you mentioned that you've been playing on your DDR Extreme cabinet, but as a longtime DDR player, I'm personally interested in hearing about your progression. What level are you up to now? What songs have you been working on lately? Now that you're playing constantly, at what rate have you been improving? Are you playing double or just focusing on singles for now?
You know, here's the funny part, is I'm not improving. That's the weirdest thing. I always play doubles, unless my, you know, kids or something want me to play singles. And actually, it's weird. Playing doubles, like, I could be used to that, and I can play it for a while. Then I go and play singles, and it actually really hurts my feet to play singles. It's like, it's just different. I don't know. But no, and sadly, I'm not really getting much better at it. I have been noticing lately, though, that the machine needs to be tuned up again, because I'm starting to get some misses on my upper arrow on the left side. But that's probably because it just needs to be cleaned out again. I never did clean the right side of the stage either, so probably should do that at some point. But yeah, sadly, I haven't really been progressing too much further. I've tried to play harder songs. I guess that's not necessarily true, because when I started playing, I couldn't really play a whole lot of hard stuff. I've been kind of hanging around, like, I always do, like, the random Caprice stuff, because it's just, you know, it's random songs, and usually we just play them on the standard difficulty. But then I've been lately been mixing it up when, you know, DDR tends to be nice and throws in, you know, hey, let's do a Legend of Max, and then followed by, you know, Paranoia Survivor Max on a random Caprice. I'm like, fuck that, and I go and play something else. So I've been trying to play, like, around, like, 6 to 8, but I find, like, the 8-footer song, especially in doubles, can get really tiring. And also the hard thing, too, is, like, after I come home and play DDR, it's after I've walked for, like, 3 to 5 miles that day already. And so I can tell when I'm getting tired, because I start missing stuff more. So I don't really care about as far as, like, perfect attacking anything. If I pass a song, cool. That's it. But, yeah, I haven't really noticed that I'm, like, can, like, all of a sudden, like, play max or something now. I don't think I'm as good as I was before.
Do you notice your stamina improving at all, though? That, like, you know, probably. Maybe you were really winded in the beginning? Because I would think that if I were to get back into DDR every day, which I really, like, I just really wish I could. I wish I had a situation where I could have a DDR machine in this house. It's just not financially the thing to do, and we don't own this house, so it's just not, you know, something I really want to keep here. And even to go out and play at an arcade, like, I hate to say it, it's a little weird that I'm 40 years old when we have these, you know, younger kids that are playing the game. It's going to look a little weird. Like, am I a predator?
Honestly, no, because after, like, watching the people play Ace, they're, like, fucking hugging the bar on standard difficulty shit. I'm like, I'm not judging, but I'm judging.
Well, that's a whole nother thing you're going to get into. But anyway, My point is, really, though, all that aside, I mean, you guys could tell me it doesn't matter all you want, but the reality is there just isn't a machine conveniently near here. Yes, we have machines in Sacramento, but we have this thing called rush hour traffic, and it's going to change your mind about a lot of things, too, about what's convenient to get to in an amount of time. And just the area of town I live in, just there's nothing convenient. Like, sure, if there was, like, a DDR machine in an arcade, like, right up the street, I'd probably go there all the time. But anyway. All right. And then I want to continue with YYR's email. I can't speak for everyone, but since a significant portion of OLR's audience came out of the DDR community, I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one interested in learning more about your progress. So I hope you'll give us regular updates as you pursue your personal goals.
Well, funny enough, I've been thinking, actually, the last few times I've been playing, of setting up a Twitch stream setup.
I think you should.
I've been looking into it, but like, it's going to be complicated to do something like that, because I want to do like a multi-camera setup type thing. But
well, here's my suggestion. Start basic. Like, I know you want to reach for the stars, and I know you want it to be fucking primo on day one, but I'm going to also keep it real. OLR is going to convert to Twitch soon. Don't expect it to be what we really want it to be day one. Day one is going to be camera pointed at us as we do this show, like it used to be on Justin TV all those years ago. Then we might start to grow more and more. But again, I want to make, and you know, I'm stressing this especially for my podcast people out there, because I know there's a lot of you. I don't want to change it into a video show for those of you that are listening on audio. It's still Orange Lounge Radio. It's just that you can watch us do it on Twitch if you want. But, you know, that's all going to grow with time and so forth. So anyway, my point is, that's great. You want a multi-camera setup. You don't need it day one.
Right. I know that. And it's just and not necessarily multi-camera. Like, I would just want, like, you know, a camera and a screen capture type thing, you know. Just so you can see that. But, like, I don't know who would want to watch, like, me, like, you fucking tired, you know. Oh, shit, look at me. I barely passed the seven-footer. Woo. You know, it's like, yeah, but, you know, I'm fucking tired because I've been exercising all day.
Okay.
It could be a journey in progress.
So,
but then again.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I streamed Forza Horizon 4 this week. Number one, I'm terrible at Forza Horizon 2.
Oh, yeah.
Forza Horizon. Number two, I still love it. Number three, Travis Donovan decided to crash my game because that's what Travis Donovan does. And as I was driving off a cliff, he fucking pushed me off of it live on stream. He drove his car into mine and pushed me off the cliff. Now, as much as – so it was – honestly, it was terrible. We weren't progressing in the game at all. It was just – but it – damn it, Loki, it was the funniest fucking thing. Like, even I had to look at it and go, okay, this is funny. Because, like, I can't get up this hill, and then Travis comes and pushes me off the fucking cliff. And it's funny. So, you know what? You don't always have to be good at the games. So honestly, Loki, just title your stream, Old Dude Getting Back into DDR. And, like, people aren't going to give a fuck.
Well, it's like, was it the one dude that, I don't even remember the guy's name, but, like, he was in the Kotaku article just this week or something about, like, how he lost 125 pounds playing DDR. It's, like, pretty much just what I'm doing, except he's been doing it slightly longer. It's like, he bought a DDR machine. He's losing weight. He's also eating, dieting. He's lost all his weight. I was like, God damn it. That's just the shit I'm doing. You know, so
document it all and then make a YouTube channel. And now you have a sponsor and so on and so forth. You
never
know.
Let's not get crazy. All right. SG100 Matt also points out you're doing something that he doesn't see on Twitch. You're playing doubles. Most DDR people do singles.
And most people perfect attack, and I am not going to be perfect attacking on my machine.
It's okay. You don't have to be the best.
Because that machine ain't capable of perfect attacking, I think.
This is going to sound shady, but I know he would support me 100% in this statement. So hopefully he's out there listening still. If Bobby Blackwolf can stream, you can stream.
I'll consider
it. I would not have said that. In a bitchy way, if I know he didn't 100%
I have been thinking about it, and I've been, like, looking at my garage and, like, how would I set this up? I need to replace some lights and stuff because it's really dark. But I have been considering it. I may do it.
All right.
And it would like, get me to play even more. But, I mean, I just shit, like, fucking – the other day I walked 5 miles, and then I come home and I play DDR for, like, 30 minutes. And the problem is, like, you know, after you've walked that long, you know, during the day, it's, like, hard to play for an hour. So.
You can get your kids involved, too. That could be fun, too.
That could be fun. Yeah, I guess, yeah.
There's also weirdness about putting your kids on video like that.
They don't
that.
Really know how to play. No. They just kind of, I mean, my one son sort of.
That's the entertaining part.
Beginner mode, but then they get bored with it pretty fast.
All right. Anyway, and ActDeft in chat says, I think Black Wolf acknowledges his lack of skills when playing most games. He probably doesn't mind as long as he's
having
fun.
You know what, yeah, maybe exactly. I do need to get into it. I just need to buy all new gear because I don't have anything.
Exactly, and that's why. And honestly, in all honesty, he's not as bad at games as he thinks he is, especially when it comes to like,
well,
music.
And the other thing I've been looking to is I've been seriously considering changing that over into a set media machine because, I don't know, because I'm just getting kind of bored with the songs I've been playing.
Hold on, I just realized something because what I really think you need to do is you need to talk to Name Redacted, but I'm going to show you this text message here. You need to talk to Name Redacted, okay, about this on your machine. And I bet that's something you could do.
Oh, I already know how to do that. That I can do. I just have to buy a new drive for that. But
all right.
Yeah, I already have that image to burn that, but it's just, and I've thought about doing that.
All right.
But maybe, I don't know.
We'll see. Anyhow, YYR concludes, that's it for me this time. Not every email I write has to be a novel. Well, every discussion has to be, apparently, though. We spent like 5 minutes on the email. That's right. No. Just almost every email. Enjoy your week and happy gaming. Love, YYR. I inserted the love in there, but, you know, he'd probably be okay with it. All right, let's move on. We got some more news to get into, and then we're going to get to your calls at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. Loki.
All right. So this is kind of interesting that it's a thing, but I'm glad it's a thing, actually. So what's happening, Seattle police are launching a new anti-swatting program because, you know, swatting is fucking terrible, and people have been killed because of it, and it's really not a great thing. So what they've done now is they have this registry that you can basically go and sign up on it and letting them know that you have swatting concerns. Then that way that they will get that when there is, you know, a call into the SWAT or whatever saying, oh, yeah, this person's got a thing, that message will pop up, and they're like, oh, okay, well, maybe this is, you know, a streamer or something, and they'll proceed with, you know, a little bit differently than they would if they didn't have that sort of message. So, you know, what they need to do, I guess, if you're in the Seattle area, there's a website you can go to actually do that. They have an official swatting resource site. And you create your profile and then flag yourself as having swatting concerns. And then what will happen is they say a 911 call taker receives a report of a critical incident. While the ensuring the first responders are dispatched to that call for service as quickly as possible, the call taker will simultaneously check for whether or not swatting concerns have been registered at that address. If swatting concerns have been registered, this information can be shared with the responding officers who will still proceed to the call. So that at least gives them kind of like, you know, this is the situation I may be walking into.
It's an interesting solution. I'm not sure it's a perfect solution, but
it's,
I mean,
better than no solution.
Exactly. Like, at least we're trying something to fix this problem. So I'm like, all right, let's see. It's one city. Let's see how it goes. Because if it ends up doing well, maybe. And, you know, Seattle is a pretty big tech town. Home of Amazon, home of Microsoft, Nintendo, right? They're all in Seattle. Area. So, you know, if this does well there, you know, maybe other cities will take notice, and maybe this can be something that helps, you know, because we know somebody got fucking shot that shouldn't have been shot. As
yeah, the completely wrong house, disgusting. Even. So, yeah.
Yeah.
This wouldn't have prevented that, unfortunately, because
no,
that was
but
different.
At least, again, it's something. We're trying to move somewhere. Pooba in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com says, damn, why didn't we think of this sooner? Smart on the PD for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's about time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about Amazon, actually, because Amazon is having to put up with a leaked video that went up of their new MMO. It was 2 hours and 11 minutes of streamed footage of their project called New World. Now, we know New World exists. They've talked about this project before. But what's interesting about it is that it was originally put out there as a Google Drive file. The video then went to Pornhub as backup in case of removal because you know how, like, interesting things end up on Pornhub sometimes, right? Like, not just the obvious, but you know how sometimes people will put, like, legit video on there. And some have even joked that, like, the company that could take on YouTube is Pornhub.
100%.
I wholeheartedly agree, because they own like a lot of the streaming services, like the different porn streaming services. So they own a lot of them, and I mean, all they have to do is put out one that's not a porn service, and boom, they've got the infrastructure for it.
Yeah. Anyhow, the footage did get taken down from Pornhub, but 3,800 people viewed it, and you know, of course, now it's spreading throughout the internet. Now it is on YouTube, or excuse me, there's like an edited version on YouTube. Some YouTube users took the footage and kind of like compressed it down to like 11 minutes and have done their own thing. So anyway, what we learned about New World from the leak, it's a third-person survival MMO. There's resource gathering, crafting, action, combat. The concept behind it is that you are settling a new world and you join forces with other players to form companies. You could be mercs, prospectors, craft people, architects. You claim territory and fight against raiders. So interesting. It's kind of like a Civilization-esque type of game, but mixed with like, I don't know, DayZ or something. I don't know, like a survival type of thing. Anyway.
Rust.
Also, what should be noted, speaking of Pornhub and the fact that interesting videos go up there, in 2015, there was leaked Fallout 4 footage that made there. Because I guess it takes a little longer for copyright strikes to hit on Pornhub. They're a little slower to act because they don't usually get this type of stuff. Whereas like YouTube, you know, tends to put stuff down even if they maybe don't necessarily need to. So anyway, kind of interesting. I don't know if I don't think we have a date for New World. I think it's something that's still being worked on. It is being made. Who is making this game? I thought the Amazon had a studio, but all I see is Amazon's game. Anyway, all right. Well, let's move on. Loki, let's talk about the next story.
Yes, so the Switch, of course, you know, has been hacked. And with that, RetroArch has been added to the system. So they've got development now of it, I guess. It's been going on for a while. Now they have the latest version that runs on the Switch. And, of course, for those not familiar, RetroArch is a multi-system emulator. And so you can do all sorts of things. Like they have the PSP. You know, you can do Super Nintendo, Nintendo. In fact, actually, I run RetroArch on my SNES Mini. So, but it's interesting to see, though, that they have all sorts of things right on there. Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. They have a screenshot of that. Ridge Racer. They're saying, you know, you can even do split screen Ridge Racer on that. Each person has a controller. Lots of cool stuff. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not surprised that they have emulators running on a system. I mean, it's capable of it, which is, you know, makes sense.
The real question is how long before Nintendo shuts it down, but I guess they can't, right?
They can't
really.
It's
like a permanent.
When they do
which might also
revision.
Be the reason why they're putting out a new thing in 2019.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Here's another reason that they might want to do that as well, because not only are you going to be able to run your emulators, but you can also run mods in Skyrim. That's right. So they have a tool called the Skyrim NX Toolkit that allows people to port over mods that were made for other versions of the game for the Switch now. And, of course, the more popular mods that are working with that are body mods. So the big-breasted naked chicks.
Hooray.
Going into Shop. Skyrim, because that's... Everybody wants sexy Skyrim.
Well, not everybody. Oh, it was sexy Skyrim. Okay, yes.
Well, they also said... Well, the sexy mods have been have triple or more downloads than everything else. The other thing that they have is the intro skip mod has been downloaded about 37 times.
Oh, a practical, useful thing.
Yeah.
But nobody cares.
Sexy armor and, yeah, all sorts of other skeleton mods.
And speaking of Skyrim and then previously Pornhub, I'm surprised the amount of Skyrim porn that exists out there. I did not know that was a thing.
There's a lot of, like, everything porn out there. Like, there's, like, Zelda Breath of the Wild porn. There's, like,
welcome to the internet.
The Skyrim engine. Like, I didn't...
Oh, that they actually made it in...
Like, I think I've seen Skyrim. Like,
yes.
They made... Porn.
They do a lot. Yeah, they do.
In the engine, that doesn't really lend itself well to the engine, but they do have mods with sex in them, and then they also have, I'm sure, I don't know, a lot of people use, actually, funny enough, the Source Filmmaker for porn stuff. Like, they'll use that to make stuff.
Yeah. And you know what? As soon as Super Smash Bros. Ultimate comes out, within like 2 days, we're going to have Super Gang Bang Ultimate. Like, it's just a matter of time. Just wait for it. And then within 3 days, Bowsette will be there, even
she'll
though
she'll be
she's
modded
not in
already.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I saw there was a version of Mario 64 that someone modded Bowsette into. You can play as her. Granted, she looks a little bit more Bowser than Bowsette, but, you know.
Moving on, let's talk about Castlevania. There's a new Castlevania portal. That's right, Konami, not the portal game, sorry, meaning like a web portal. Konami did launch a Castlevania like website, basically, because if you go to this Castlevania portal, you get to see a whole like timeline of the series. There's a big gap between 2014 and 2018, which is, you know, sad, but that's the way it is. We do see the rebirth of Castlevania with the new, you know, a Requiem that's coming out on PlayStation 4. But anyhow, thanks to the new Castlevania series on Netflix, thanks to Simon being in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, more people are getting, you know, reinterested in Castlevania, I think. So Konami's created this website to kind of educate people a little bit on Castlevania. But there is a section called New Product.
Oh, boy. I can't wait for the new Patrice slot machine.
Oh, God.
Of course. Of course. So, who knows? Maybe there'll be a Castlevania new game in the works, and hopefully it's as good as, like, maybe when they redid Bomberman, because I know when we think of Konami lately, we don't have a lot of positive feelings, but to be fair, the Bomberman game was aight, so we'll see if the Castlevania thing is good, too, hopefully.
That's more Hudson, though. But you know.
Yeah, well, maybe they contracted with another studio to do it. Who knows? We'll see.
I guess.
Well, Castlevania Requiem is not going to use the original localization for Symphony of the Night, so be warned. If you are looking forward to some of the infamous voice acting, it's not quite the same, because the PSP English version is the one that's going to be in there again. So if you were waiting for the, what is a man? Nope, you're going to get the redone voice lines from PSP's Dracula X Chronicles. That is also the same for Rondo of Blood. So, well, that's too bad. But not surprising either, especially after the Silent Hill remake. So there's clearly something going on with the voice actor rules and all that stuff. So, all right, a few more stories for you guys. Then we're going to get to the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. But first, Loki.
Yes, but first we have to talk about the final conclusion of what, you know, fighting games are going towards. So you may notice that with each fighting game that comes out, we're pushing the boundaries of outfits and what scantily clad, you know, outfits the characters have and the boob physics and stuff like that. Well, it's only a matter of time, and the time is now, that a game should exist called Naked Fighter 3D. And it is a one-man project, a one-man indie project, you may will. It's a turn-based fighting game where you fight naked people against naked people. That's right. You can fight women against men, against transsexuals, whatever you want. With a custom character creator, I don't know. It's a Unity thing, I guess, now. But if you want to check it out, they've got a demo. And they have, like, skill trees and stuff. And
boy, I can't wait.
It's just...
Is there a dong slider?
There is a dong slider for both male and female.
Okay. I'm just going to let the internet have its thing. It can just, the internet just, it can exist.
They'll make inevitably naked Bowsette.
But
I'm curious though, like how a turn-based fighting game works though. Like how's that? I mean, I'd be curious to see how that plays, but this is weird.
I guess it's like a Final Fantasy type, you know, fight, select option, slap, kick.
But if you're interested, they have a Patreon. So patreon.com/NakedFighter3D. For more information, you can go download that demo and go check it out. And
Bobby Blackwell asks, why didn't you download the demo, Logie?
I did. I haven't played it, though. Hey, I got to try it.
For research purposes only.
We got to see what it
That's
is.
Justified.
I'm curious, like, how a turn-based fighting, like, how...
I mean, I'm curious, too.
How do you make a turn-based,
well, Delvin,
like, fighting game?
Well, we're all
like
a little
that?
Curious.
I mean, I've already seen the videos. The videos are goddamn ridiculous, you know, with the sliders and everything, but, yeah, It is. It's a thing.
All right. Anyhow, one more story for you guys before we open up the Skype line, and this has to do with Steam and the removal of minigames. Speaking of, like, porny games, Steam has recently removed 179 games. And this is probably from the whole, like, if you're trying to troll purposely. It's nice to see they finally maybe gone back a little bit on the whole, like, well, things on Steam should offend you and that whole bullshit thing that they were... their line was recently. But anyhow, apparently about 179 games have been removed in the past few weeks, including such titles as Make Border Great Again, Big Dick, MILF, Hentai Sisters, Putin, Boobs, and Trump. I mean, I was looking forward to that one myself. Logan versus KSI, which is, I don't know what that means, and my life is probably better for it.
Yeah. Logan Paul and KSI, they did a boxing match.
No, okay, I got
They're two YouTubers.
31 different games that have some variation on the title Achievement Hunter. So anyhow, now we have an idea what Steam means when they say trolling, basically. So I guess that's nice. Anyway. Yep, Steam is kind of a garbage dump of games sometimes, and yeah, I think they might need to curate their stuff a little better, but at least they're making some attempts at it by scraping a lot of this bottom-of-the-barrel stuff out of the store, so there you go. Sia Tiberi in our chat suggests Professor Leotun and the Mystery Box. No, I might actually play that. That sounds like a porny title. Like, you know how like they might do like a porn take on a big... Like Lord of the Cock Ring or something. Like, it would be...
Saving Ryan's Privates.
Yeah, Shaving Ryan's Privates. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Anyway, let's get to the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. I'm trying to think, because you know I run... And the Skype line is open. Since we're talking about funny porn titles, you know, I run with the Rocky Horror crowd, and they know some weird shit. So I think the funniest porn thing I ever saw was Beaver and Buttface. Which was Beavis and Butthead. And I swear to God, one of the actors goes, I think I'm going to come or something. It was ridiculous. Anyway, Skype line is lit up. Let's get to it. And then, wow, those calls I was trying to take just straight up disappeared. So,
sorry,
the chatters are yelling at me. Pooba says, Rob, no, I'm sorry. But if I had to see this and had it seared into my brain for all eternity, guess what? So do you. And Dark Tatsuya says, I'm pretty sure Bowsette already has a porn parody.
She does.
Yes, unfortunately, that crossed my desk this week and went immediately into the trash receptacle. All right, I'm trying to get some calls. Dang it, Skype, cooperate. Here we go. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Perhaps we have a connection on Orange
Lounge. Oh, sorry. I don't know why my... headset was muted, but it was.
That's all right. Hi, who's this?
This is Eric RPG.
Hey, Eric RPG. What's on your mind tonight, buddy?
Just want to talk about two open world games I've been playing, and they're polar opposites of each other.
Okay, what's the first one?
The first one's Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Oh, yeah, I was curious about this game, but I was...
I hate this thing.
Really? Because I it looked really interesting, but I was really turned off when I heard that they were selling in the store this $10 thing for double XP and that like double XP was kind of like what you needed to really progress through the game. There's a part of me that's like, just tack $10 onto the price of your game. Stop being a coward. This is what you want to do. Just do it. Like, charge what you're really trying to charge for the game and stop all this other bullshit. But anyway, what are your thoughts?
The experience that you get for doing quests is not as much as you could get in Origins. And even Origins kind of felt grindy. But, like, it wasn't nearly as bad as this game.
That's
because I didn't mind doing the quests then. But I don't have the kind of time the game demands for me. And it is set up like a pay-to-win game where they basically are cajoling you into paying for the experience booster. Which is something that didn't exist in the previous game. But that, along with the fact that the game's very repetitious to begin with. Like, sure, there are some unique quests that you can do that, like, give you decent rewards. But most of them are pretty much, go here and kill a lot of dudes. Or steal something, but you end up killing a lot of dudes anyways because they're in your way.
Well, that's unfortunate. I haven't heard quite as negative of a reception of the game as a whole, except for the microtransactions part. But I got to admit
that ruins it, though. It's
I hear
and
you.
And the everything else I just mentioned.
It wouldn't feel so grindy if you just got double XP out the gate.
And then there's a game like Spider-Man, which I also played. It's like I rented the other game from Redbox because no other Redbox had Spider-Man. It's like I'll do this over the weekend because I'm taking Monday off. And I tried playing it for like most of Saturday, and then I just returned it on Sunday to get Spider-Man today.
And how's Spider-Man?
Spider-Man is everything that an open world game should be doing. I mean, it still has a lot of that like stupid fetch quest stuff that's more busy work and doesn't have any real significant story content. And there's a lot of collectible junk, but it's a lot more fun game, tight controls, and like even on my base PS4, I mean, I did experience some issues, but I think that has more to do with the fact that I probably need to, like, defrag the hard drive. Because that happens after a while, after you've downloaded a lot.
That's very true. It's something sometimes I even forget to do. But you can't defrag a solid-state drive.
Yeah, I'm just using a standard drive.
Yeah, I hear you.
But well, I probably should just get an external.
So you mentioned you rented Spider-Man. Do you think you're going to end up purchasing it because you like it so much?
I'm probably going to beat it to completion, but I might just decide to not do that and return it tomorrow because I can get it later, hopefully on a Black Friday sale, because I'll probably be playing it even after I beat the main game.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm very curious to check out Spider-Man as well, and I'm happy to hear you don't have the same microtransaction stuff, but I don't get quite as into the Marvel stuff as other people do, but like, or DC, really. But I did, I mean, even I say that, but I did buy like Arkham City or whatever. What was the one, the open, big open world one? And it was really good.
Arkham Knight?
Yeah, that might have been it. And it was good. So I hear a lot of the, it's basically that with Spider-Man, and I'm like, okay, I'm into it.
Yeah, I didn't like Arkham Knight as much as Arkham Asylum or Arkham City.
That's because, what was
they put in the tank sections, and it's like, this is not a Batman game anymore. Why is this here?
Maybe it was Arkham Asylum. I thought that was the first game, but anyway. But yeah, that's that game was really good. And then I hear a lot about the Spider-Man's really good too. And I see all these screenshots that look great. Like the game just looks like it's really pretty. So.
But other than that, I've been playing Mega Man 11, which I think is probably, I'm going to put it above 9 just a little bit.
Okay.
As, like, one of my favorite Mega Man games, my favorite being the third. And then 9 being number 2. This would be a number 3.
How many games are in this series?
11 plus the side games, like the spinoffs, like X and all that stuff. So those are my top three. And I do think that the game has a little bit of a, it's kind of like bare bones, but I guess that Capcom did essentially what they needed to do and didn't try to overreach just to prevent themselves from screwing it up too much. But I could yell at Capcom for also doing the same thing that Ubisoft did with Assassin's Creed Odyssey that they're going to be doing with Devil May Cry 5. Mm. Basically the same thing. Where they'll charge you money to pay for extra experience boost so you can get more red orbs.
Yeah, I just wish if game companies want to do this, they just make the game $70 already and just give us the right proper balancing in the game, because this is just, it's just getting ridiculous. And it's just, it's, I realize games are expensive to develop and they need to make their money back, but like, you're shooting yourself in the foot by making the money back in this manner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing I will comment on in regards that at least Capcom did well in terms of Mega Man is that it is not priced as a full pop game. So even though, yes, it is simplistic in its offerings, it is not charged at, you know, a full $59.99. It's, I believe it was, I don't know what the Canadian or U.S. price equivalent is, but it was $39.99 in Canada, so I think it's probably $29.99 for you guys.
Probably, yeah.
So there's that, at least.
Yeah, there is that. All right. Well, Eric RPG, I'm going to let you go so I can get some more calls, but thank you for your thoughts.
Yeah, and maybe you could tune into RP Grinders podcast where me and Breakman have been doing a Mega Man retrospective, but we'll have our final episode soon, and we'll probably have our reviews of Mega Man 11 up then.
All right.
And we tend to go live around Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern.
All right. There, and check that out, RP Grinders. All right.
See you later.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to get in. And you can try to get in right now. Meanwhile, while we're waiting for what? As fast as I talk, it lights right back up. Let's get to another call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It's Ranma.
Hey, Ranma. An email and a call tonight.
2-for-1 special.
All right, what's up, buddy?
Okay, in response to that naked fighting game, I just have one thing to say about that.
What's that?
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Oh, please don't. No, thank you. Hard pass. Emphasis on hard.
They have groin kicks in the game.
They have what?
Groin kicks.
Oh, boy.
Well, that seems appropriate.
Oh, boy. Is that what you wanted to talk about, was naked fighting, Rama?
No, I did that 2 weeks ago, but that's the story for another time, another show, and so on and so forth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Alrighty, then.
Oh, okay.
That happened.
You're the one that brought up Folsom Street Fair.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Delvin, could you go get me the brain bleach? It's in the other room. Because my brain hurts right now.
That was too much.
It was just too much. No, I'm kidding. All right. What's really up?
All right, I gotta throw my 2 cents in about this DDR movie. I mean, I'm picturing the final stage, the final part of the movie, since you brought up Scott Pilgrim. They're in his warehouse. The bad boss is on the left side. Our hero is in the bathroom, just getting motivated. And it's like that whole scene from 8 Mile, and you see him come out in the hoodie, and they just do... Max 300, 1.5, skip.
That's not going to make a fun movie. That's not going to be a good movie.
It might. I'm just in reference to earlier in chat, me and Bob Coffey were talking about, there have been animes with similar plot lines, and it worked. I mean, fuck, if you've played Elite Beat Agents, it's basically the same thing.
I just feel like the DDR movie is going to be You Got Served Too. I really just feel like that's what it's going to be.
I mean, well, if it's anything like La Machina de Baya, I will be in the front row watching it.
I guess I need to give it a chance and see what they turn it. But I just, you know, again, DDR doesn't have a story. Like, at least Monster Hunter and Mega Man kind of like have stories. But DDR just, like, doesn't have a story. And that's okay. It doesn't, like, it's a great game. It doesn't need a story.
Well, there was a DDR manga that came out sometime back. It was not an official one. It was a fan of one that a friend of mine did, called the 10K Millennium. It was really cool. It was basically a DDR tournament.
It was the cash cow.
But I tell you what. This current idea for a DDR film is a hell of a lot better than the supposed one that floated around back in 2000.
I never saw that one. What was that supposed to be?
Well, according to what was supposed to be with that script, it was about a boy teaching a girl English through DDR.
Are we sure this wasn't like DDR Freak fanfic?
No.
All right, are we sure?
I'm positive.
All right, just making sure. Are we very sure?
Very sure.
Is that your final answer?
I sworn this was discussed on a show back in the day.
No, it probably was, and there's a really good reason I've forgotten over the years.
What's funny is that I may not remember certain things at work, but I sure as fuck remember shit like this.
I know. Whereas I can't remember what happened on this show last week, but that's why you guys are all great. Like, some of these, I swear to God, some days I feel like RuPaul around here. And I say that joke because, and Delvin understands this, and some of you out there too, if you ever listen to, like, RuPaul's podcast and stuff, like, you learn, like, just, like, he is such an old man. Like, he does not, like, he, like, seriously, Michelle's like, yeah, Carson's been playing Fortnite. And Ru's like, what's a Fortnite?
No, Rob, I can tell you exactly what happened on last week's show. You had a mimosa and you went total B. Arthur on everyone.
I had a mimosa last week. I don't remember that.
We do.
No, we seriously. Why? I didn't have a mimosa. I'd remember that. Now, last night, I had a lot
That's
to drink.
That's a different story.
That's a different story. But we're not that. What had happened was. No, we're not going to talk about it on this show. All right. Anyway, I'm going to let you go, my friend. But thank you for the call, except for that one part that I will have seared in my brain for all time.
But you brought it up. I'm sorry.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. That's going to do it for the Skype line tonight. Thank you guys who were able to get through. If you didn't get through, though, please feel free to send us an email. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place where you, too, can send an email and have it read on a future episode. But for now, we're going to proceed to wrap up the show. As I always say at the end of the show, if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or five about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here, then how can we air them? So tell a friend or two. A nice 5-star review in a place like iTunes goes an awful long way. And we would really appreciate those. Delvin, all the way from Toronto, Canada. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thank you for having me.
I am so happy you finally got to actually be on the show. You came all the way to Sacramento just to be on OLR. There wasn't like work involved in San Francisco or anything. You came all the way out here just to be on OLR.
Oh, and just to see you and Alan, of course.
No, I love it. I love it. Come back anytime.
It might be a while, but yeah.
And hopefully when I come to Toronto, you can actually do an episode of Video Game Realness and I can
be
there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, work. That sounds awesome. Anyway, give us the social media plugs one more time. Where can people follow you if they want to see more of Delvin and company?
So you can see the listen to the podcast at videogamerealness.com. You can follow us on Twitter at VGRealness. And we're also on Twitch, twitch.tv/VGRealness.
Okay. Please send all our best to your co-hosts over on Video Game Realness. I know there's really four of you there. It's not just you, but,
yes,
you know.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you representing the show tonight.
Mm-hmm. I'm here.
All right. Where are they, though? Where is she, though?
How is she, though?
All right. And we always ask at the end of the show, of course, if you have any final thoughts. So do you have any final thoughts you'd like to leave our listeners with tonight?
A?
Perfect. Thank you. I love that song. It's my favorite DDR song. Okay, anyway. Loki, how about you? Your final thought tonight?
My final thought is we didn't do last-minute stories, but I had one thing real quick I want to talk about.
Okay, fair enough.
Toys R Us. Should we talk about Toys R Us?
I mean, we can, but
I can't believe that they're now thinking about coming back.
After they fired all those people, sure.
Well, technically, I think it's a company that's selling the brand as Toys R Us.
It is.
So
it's not really Toys R Us.
But
it's
I'm
somebody
over it.
Who cut up Toys R Us and is now wearing them as a dress. That's
a Toys R Us skin suit.
Is what is happening. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
My final thought is, I'm still trying to work on game development stuff. It hasn't helped that I've been tired or had a headache for 2 days, you know. But I've been working things. The problem I have is that I keep starting stuff and then running the roadblocks of what I can and cannot do by myself with my current knowledge. And so that's kind of why I keep jumping between projects, because it's just like I get into this thing where I have to like research a bunch of stuff, and it's like I want to make progress now and I'm impatient with that. So
all right,
figure it out.
My final thought is I need my Pokemon storage increased to 2,000. I need it. I need it. No, I don't have a problem keeping 3 of every type of Pokemon. You have a problem.
I was just going to say, I was like, maybe you shouldn't keep 3 of every goddamn Pokemon.
I don't have a problem. You have a problem. You have a problem. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.